Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 3-2 last night. Hunter Green versus Paul Skeens is the expected pitching matchup for tonight's game, with first pitch scheduled at 6:10. Former Buckeye wide receiver Chris Olave signed a four-year, $132 million deal with the Saints yesterday. Olave joins a list with Jackson Smith and Jigba, Garrett Wilson, and Terry McLaurin as former Ohio State wide receivers to get a massive contract extension this offseason. And finally, it was announced yesterday that Ohio State will play Butler in an exhibition game at the Shot on Sunday, October 25th. Former Ohio State and Butler head coach Thad Mata will join T-Bone and Tyvus to talk about that and more this morning at 8:30. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co., locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation today. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tyvus. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvus.
Welcome in. Happy Friday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone. He's Tyvus. Good morning, go to hell. Tyvus, how you doing today, bud?
Wagwan, you bless?
Yes. Das Vidanyev is what I don't know.
Was that Russian?
I think so. I think that's, well, that's where we're all headed, right? I think Russia is where I don't know what's going on. Me and geopolitical stuff. Right in lockstep. I know what's going on.
Don't get in politics. You know, everybody's up in arms about the vaccine shot and all that. That was the big thing. Stephen A. apologizing to Kyrie Irving on his podcast.
That's fine. He can apologize to Kyrie. He should apologize to all of us for being Stephen A. Smith for the last 20 years. It's annoying as hell.
By the way, I need it to be known, now that Tyvus has enough hair to be cut, he got a cut 2 days ago. Tyvus, your hair looks good.
It does.
Thank you.
It really does.
You know what's crazy is that as I was looking, I just had this conversation with my wife last night. I was looking at my haircut and I was thinking to myself, do I really want this to be the look that I do this year for football season? Because I wasn't really that much of a fan.
You don't like this haircut?
No.
Okay.
Well, I feel like I outgrown it.
Okay.
So I'm trying to decide, what do I want to do for football season?
Perfect answer. You just Google B.A. Baracus.
I don't know what that is.
Google him.
Is it safe for...
Yes, okay. It's safe for work. Google B.A. Baracus. That's what you need to look like when you go on...
Baracus.
Yeah. A-Team.
Film crew.
A-Team.
Get out of here.
The A-Team. Mr. T. Yes. You need to get the mohawk with the sides, burns. And yes. Do it.
Miss me.
Do it.
I love how he said he outgrew his haircut.
Yeah,
I grew it. The look.
No pun intended.
Did you, serious question, have either of you ever watched The A-Team? Like the show The A-Team that Mr. T was on?
No.
I watched the movie.
Rocky? Yeah, like the one that came out a few years ago. That had wasn't the MMA guy that played B.A. Baracus? I forget who it was. It was some MMA fighter, big dude, who they had play the Mr. T role.
I know Terry Crews was in it at the end. He's shooting two A-12 shotguns at the same time. It was badass.
Yeah.
That's all I remember about that.
What's crazy about the A-Team, see, I watched it when I was a kid, and obviously this show is almost 40-plus, 50-plus years old?
Talking about Rampage.
Yeah, Rampage Jackson. Yeah, that's who it was. He played the B.A. Baracus role in the A-Team. And I growing up as a kid, I thought the A-Team, when I saw it, was awesome. You ever heard the phrase, I love it when a plan comes together? That's from the A-Team. That's like, they're Hannibal, the lead guy, the old guy, he'd have a cigar in his mouth, and like something would go awry, and everything would finally work out at the end, and it would be a whole bunch of luck and different things. I love it when a plan comes together. That's the A-Team.
You want me to walk around with a mohawk?
Yes. Absolutely right.
On national TV.
Uh-huh.
Did you know local TV?
You know what the running joke was on the A-Team with B.A. Baracus, Mr. T? Mm. See, I'm just going to give you useless A-Team trivia now. The running joke with him was that he hated to fly. He was like the toughest guy. He was like, when they got into fights, he was the guy that was the like meanest dude. You don't want to, don't make him mad, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he refused to fly.
And so they would always have to give him something in a drink to knock him out. So they have to roofie this guy, basically, knock him out, drag him onto the plane. And then, of course, he'd wake up. They'd be in like Nicaragua and he'd, how dare you? And he'd be so pissed off that like he had been drugged to get on the plane. But they're like, well, we had to do it because you won't fly. And so that was their justification for drugging one of their fellow men.
When did this come out?
The A-Team, I think it was in the late 70s, early 80s. Man. It was on NBC. Like, it was...
druggy.
Yeah, but that was, I'm telling you, the A-Team, at least go see the newer one that came out. But if you go watch an old episode of the A-Team, I don't know. I found it enjoyable. The way, you know what it was? The whole idea, Tyvus, was they were all special forces. Like, guys who were elite. Guys and a gal who were, like, you know, big deal. They knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. They'd all been Suicide Squad?
A little bit. They were like kicked out of the military. So they were like not on the, they tried to stay under the radar of the military because they were not exactly liked by the military.
The fool.
Yeah, that's, there you go. That's exactly him.
Mr. T was in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatball.
Yeah, he's the dad. He's the police officer voice.
And so was Jeff Rimmer.
Yeah, Jeff Rimmer. That's Jeff Rimmer. That's Cloudy. That's Cloudy too. But yes, he's Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs too. No, but if they, the whole thing was like, if you can find them, they will help you out. So you'd always get these people who are like, I've got somebody knocking on my door late at night, and I don't know. They're leaving notes that my husband's been kidnapped, and I don't know where he is, and I can't find him. And then they'd have, that's what they would do, is they'd track down whoever kidnapped this person's husband, and they'd, you know, go try to. But no one, famously in the A-Team, no one ever died. Every show, you would see them like have massive car accidents or big fights. But whenever it came time to like do the fighting, there might even be gunplay. But a guy would just get shot and fall down, and then they'd always show a cut of him like going, ugh, and like moving around. No blood. It was very like safe for TV. Even if there was a, like a massive car accident, they'd always have a shot of the guy crawling out of the car, even if it's on fire, just to be like, don't worry, he made it out alive. He's not dead. We didn't kill anybody on NBC, apparently. That was the rule. Yeah. A-Team. Go look it up.
It ran from 83 to 87, by the way.
Yeah. So there's your haircut.
No.
Be a Baracus.
No, I'm going to pass.
All right, if you've got suggestions for what Tyvus' hair should look like coming up on BT and Tailgate this year when he does that, just tweet it to us, at Bone and Tyvus 971. Tweet us a picture. Or put in the YouTube chat, put the name in there. Just give us something that we can go reference, because you've got to talk to your barber, who apparently you have to drive all around Columbus to find. And then once you find him, show him the picture and say, do this. Paint me like one of your French girls. Like, you show him the picture, and then he'll do it for you.
By the way, I didn't know that reference till about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Titanic.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Jack and Rose. Then she leaves him because she's like, I'm sorry, this door is too wide for two people. And he's like, too wide? She's like, shh, it's okay.
You know, a lot You'll of people freeze say down. That. He doesn't really make an effort to get
no,
on
he
the
doesn't door. Want to. No. He's like, I'm kind of done with her anyway. It's just enough for me to freeze to death.
It's that point right there that makes that movie dumb to me.
Yeah.
Because it's not realistic. There's two things in that movie that's just not realistic.
Two. Try 200.
Two. I do want to point out this actually did occur. Not like the story in Titanic.
I guarantee this didn't happen.
How did they not see that iceberg? That really happened.
No, that's not the part. You think the band played as everybody?
Oh, that's no, that's
did
real.
That happen?
They said that happened.
Listen,
they were
the whole time.
They said they played. They said they played.
I don't mean to bring this up, but
okay.
You know how you hear stuff, and
I'm
you
very
just
interested to
you
see
just,
where this
you
goes.
Just know that ain't. My ethnicity.
What does this mean?
Could you imagine?
Let him finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just imagine the Jackson 5 is on the boat and it's going down.
Okay.
You think Michael going to say, let's just get out here and just keep sinking? No.
Sure he would.
They going to find something. They going to be flipping tables over or something to float on. Ain't nobody just going to just play.
I'm sure they did
the
eventually.
Boat goes down.
It makes
no sense.
No, it was a women and children first. And then they quickly realized there's not enough boats for everybody. And so
we just going to play.
There's honor.
Michael just gonna moonwalk on you as the boat going down.
Yeah, he's just, oh, baby, give me one more chance while the boat's going down.
I doubt it.
Oh, trust me. Well, at least wherever, if it was a boat full of children, Michael Jackson would have said, let me get on that boat. I gotta find a way. I gotta find a way on that boat. No, because he thought he was a child. Remember, he had his stunted growth. Yes. He thought he was like a 12-year-old.
Those are his friends.
Those are his friends. Yes. They're just 12-year-old friends that he has sleepovers with and allows them to drink Jesus juice with. It's just out of a Coke can.
Allegedly.
So no one would ever... yes. Whatever.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
You're not going to do
allegedly,
Michael like that.
I can do Mike however I want. I can listen to his music and also acknowledge that dude was creepy as F. Yes. All right? And he could still be a great pop star, and I could still have my questions about what the hell was going on.
Yeah, Michael Jackson and OJ, innocent in a court of law, T-Bone. You remember
that. That's right,
that.
Innocent in a court of law, and that's fine. Lots of people have been innocent in a court of law. I agree with that. By the way, speaking of things that were weird to hear, I heard this yesterday. This is, you flipped on ESPN last night, you would have seen, I believe it was the Braves and the Nationals game. Here's what you would have heard.
Inside, Buster Olney's down on the field. Shortly, Andrew Jones will be down there as well. This is Eduardo Perez, fresh off his trip from Cooperstown, and I'm Carl Ravitch. It has been a very big season and a big week, and they do get Acuna back. What does that mean for the Braves?
What? Carl Ravitch was the guy talking there.
Thought he was
he
dead.
Said, I'm Carl Ravitch on ESPN. Last week, when we had all those massive amounts of layoffs at ESPN, one of the most prominent names mentioned in the layoffs was Carl Ravitch.
We worked it out.
So why was Carl Ravitch on TV yesterday? I will tell you next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. Not so happy, though, when it comes to drivers in New Albany. We are seeing some slowdowns really increasing this morning after a crash. Yes, 161 in that eastbound direction just past Hamilton Road. And right before you're heading towards New Albany Road, that left lane is blocked. It's causing about 32 miles per hour when it comes to your speeds as that alternate route takes East Dublin Granville Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Real nice start to the day out there with a lot of sunshine. Just some passing clouds popping up for the afternoon. We'll see high temperatures in the lower 80s. For tomorrow, some high clouds gradually stream in from the west. We'll call it partly to mostly sunny. Just a touch warmer tomorrow, mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Tyvus hates Girl Scout cookies.
I hate it.
And little girls.
In
America.
I hate it, hate, hate.
Seriously, Tyvus, what the hell?
Okay, whatever this is, I already hate it.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Gotta tell you, I didn't really plan on having a tease this morning that was like, find out what happened to Carl Ravitch next. That's kind of how it worked out in the last segment where I said, hey, you heard this yesterday or you flipped on ESPN and you thought, am I hearing things? This is what you heard last night on ESPN.
Inside, Buster Olney's down on the field. Shortly, Andrew Jones will be down there as well. This is Eduardo Perez, fresh off his trip from Cooperstown. And I'm Carl Ravitch. It has been a very big season and a big week, and they do get Acuna back. What does that mean for the Braves?
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so why is Carl Ravitch on ESPN yesterday? Because I thought that was insane, because he got laid off last week, according to all the reports. If you don't know how those reports work.
He's an IC now.
Well, that's what's interesting. Andrew Marchand, who is one of the sports business, you know, writers who covers all things sports media, sports business, he had this to say. He said, Carl Ravitch is calling the Braves Nationals game for ESPN tonight. He has still been laid off. Okay. Since it is in season, Ravitch was given the option to work some more summer dates and has chosen to do that, according to a source. He's expected to work the Little League World Series as well as a Yankees game in August. You know what that is.
Loser talk?
Ready to go!
What in the world?
Have some self-respect.
Yeah, they fired you.
You're getting paid, though.
Okay,
He's gotten paid for 30 years. Tomorrow, he could walk into another place and say, hey, I'm Carl Ravitch. I want to call games for FS1 or Apple TV or wherever he wants to go.
He'll work for MLB Network.
Yeah, he could do whatever he wants. He'll go. I'm sure they'd still give him a job. Now, maybe he's not going to be featured on the most prominent game because they've probably already worked that out, but he could still do something if he wants to keep making money. I'm saying ESPN laid you off for cost-cutting measures. So it's not like they're saying, hey, look, we found a bunch more money. Here you go. They're probably paying him out either way. Why would you? Tyvus, they said, again, hopefully this doesn't happen to either of us. Or, well, Dylan, tomorrow's fine. I don't care. But for you and me, Tyvus, I hope we don't. If we get fired tomorrow and they said, hey, but would you mind sticking on 3 more weeks? We'll pay you out either way. I hate to say it. I'm taking a 3-week vacation. I'm getting paid for 3 weeks. I'm looking for the next thing. If they say you're gone.
This ain't work. This is what he loves to do.
That's fine. Well, maybe he doesn't need to do anything else. Maybe he's got all the... I mean, he should. He's Carl Ravitch. He's been working at ESPN for 30 years. He's probably made millions of dollars by this point in his career, I would hope.
Maybe he has a lavish lifestyle.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Like he's out there just at... I don't know. He's going to clubs like poolside in Vegas. Ordering bottle service.
Yeah, he's got entourages like Allen Iverson and Floyd Mayweather that he needs to pay for.
Right.
As he pulls in with his Bugatti.
Yes. Does his barber drive a Rolls Royce?
Yes. And say, comes to him.
That's good. That's fine. That must be what it is. So Carl Ravitch is, if you see him on TV and you're like, I'm just helping you not feel crazy. When you watch TV and you're like, they said that guy got fired, right? Yeah, they did. That's accurate. He did get fired. And he's still working at ESPN. I don't know how that ever happens, but apparently it has. By the way, the voicemail line is there for you. 614-460-8010 is the number. 614-460-8010.
It was blood clots. That's what he had last year. Chris Olave.
Okay. I was wondering where, Tyvus, the first half of this segment was just like, yeah, it was great. And I kept looking over like, well, he's distracted by something.
I had to figure it out.
In the commercial break, we were talking about, so former Buckeye, obviously Chris Olave, yesterday he got paid. He now signs an extension from the Saints. 4 years, $132 million. Let him live.
The bag.
Oh, he got the bag for sure. But you said, didn't he have a nasty concussion or something that knocked him out of the season last year? And I said, I don't know. And then because you asked in the commercial break, I Googled it quickly and I saw that I knew he had concussions. 2024, he missed the final 8 games because of concussions. I said, I don't remember what happened last year to him. I do remember him being out. I just couldn't remember what it was. That's what it was. Apparently he had blood clots, you said?
Yeah, but he was second team all pro last year.
Okay.
Which
that's really good.
No kidding.
Second team all pro is awesome.
By the way, 100 catches and 1,200 yards or something like that.
Well, I mean,
is that all he had and got that?
What do you mean, is that all?
What are we talking about? 1,200 yards ain't that much to me nowadays.
Okay. That's fine.
How many dudes are getting 100 catches, though? Just a handful.
That's fair,
okay,
too.
That's fair.
Yeah, right. But I'm saying, so he was second team all pro. Jackson Smith and Jigba had to be first team all pro, right? I mean, he was I'm saying led the league.
What kind of question is that?
I'm saying he led the league in everything. So yes, of course. So I'm saying you had multiple Buckeyes on the wide receiver roles alone on the all pro teams. Like if there's any doubt, and by the way, Jackson Smith and Jigba, did he get paid too? Yeah. 4 years, $168 million. Pretty great. I mean, I'm just saying between those two, Garrett Wilson got 4 years, $130 million. Terry McLaurin got 3 years, $97 million. Mm. There should be no question about where wide receiver U is, in my opinion. Sorry, LSU. You can be second. You're probably actually down there. They'd probably kill to be second in anything because they haven't been second in a while. They've been much worse off than that. So
LSU?
Yeah.
They got Lane Kiffin.
Oh, good. That'll be great. I'm sure that'll work out very well for them until some controversy happens or he finds an NFL team that wants him or whatever, and then he will leave them like he's left every other place. Whenever a better opportunity comes along. So.
Who's the next Buckeye in line to be paid?
Oh, from a...
Would it be Mom?
Jeremiah Smith.
No.
He's already been paid.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying they're already... Whatever team gets the opportunity to draft him, they will already be stacking up their dollars for whatever it is, they can first lock him down with an extension, they will do that 100%. Now, I don't know. I'm trying to think who else would be after those guys. I'd have to go back and look. Wouldn't I'm not
it,
sure.
It would be Marv.
It's not Marv.
Listen, he going to pull it together soon.
All right. Let me ask you this.
He going to pull it together.
Let me ask you this. And I'm not rooting for this one scenario to happen of the two I'm about to present to you. I hope the scenario that happens is the good one, not the bad one. But if I said right now today, what is an amount of money, Tyvus, that would change your life? $1 million?
A billion.
Okay, $1 billion. Okay.
A million.
You're getting a $1 billion lottery ticket today.
Okay.
And here's the only way it cashes is if you are correct with this pick. You lose nothing if you're wrong.
Okay.
But it only cashes if you are correct. Mm. And I say to you, for $1 billion, Tyvus, it's on the line. You have to pick. Is Marvin, someone comes to you from the future and says, he's going to be one of these two things. He's going to have a gold jacket and go to the Hall of Fame, or he's going to be out of the league in 2 years. And for $1 billion, if you pick the right one, you get $1 billion. Every Buckeye fan is rooting for him to be Mr. Gold Jacket and be on with Anthony Rothman and Matty Ice Hayes on Thursdays in the future. However, if I'm trying to get $1 billion and that's the bet, and I'm told one of those things definitely happened, 2 years and he's out of the league. That's where I am at right now with what I'm seeing from Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, it is not encouraging.
There is no way. I think after sitting down thinking about this for the 30 seconds that I thought about it. The whole time.
Well, you didn't bury your face in your hands because you were very frustrated by this question.
30 seconds this question has been asked. There's no way he's out of the league in 2 years.
Yeah, there is. With his rookie contract?
No.
Dude,
he was a first round pick. Yeah. Somebody's going to give him another chance. So there's no way.
I want to be clear, Tyvus.
He's out of the league in 2 years.
In reality, you're probably right. Like, he's probably going to be a guy in this league for another handful of years. Effective or not, I don't see. Right now, he doesn't look like a guy who's going to turn the page, but all the tools are there. Everything is there for him to be successful, you would think, as far as his ability. I'm just saying, if someone came to you from the future and said, this happened, one of these two things happened, and it's only those two options, the only one I could look at the evidence and say, this must be the one, is the one that ends with him out of the league in 2 years, but not the one that ends with him in Canton.
This is the part that's so sickening. Is that we say, like, it's been going bad. His first year, he had 885 yards with 8 touchdowns. Last year, he had 608 yards with 4 touchdowns. But I believe he was hurt, right? He missed some games.
He missed some games. He also missed some catches. That's a problem.
Fact of the matter is, he ain't even put it all together. He played 12 games last year.
Okay.
He ain't put it all together, and he still put up 608 yards with 4 touchdowns.
I'm just saying.
And he just catches the ball consistently and don't miss games. Like he probably on average should get 1,000 yards a year. He should be around.
I mean, he played 12 games. There's 17.
Yeah.
And he got to 600.
Yes.
I guess mathematically, yeah, if he'd stayed on that pace.
He would have got close.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure he would have had a game.
I don't know, man. Maybe with better quarterback play there, maybe with.
Is he going to get it?
I don't know that answer, but I'm saying there are other factors, right? I do acknowledge there are other factors to his development.
Fact of the matter is this. Marv got this year to get it together. He don't get it this year, he will be traded.
Yeah, that's
a guarantee. That's a TP guarantee.
Okay. So I'm just saying, like, it's obviously not trending in the right direction. It's the whole point of this discussion. Now, I'm not going to go too hard on the videos we're seeing of him, you know, where he is actively like dropping passes.
I don't care about none of that because
early preseason stuff.
I watched Jamar Chase drop passes. I watched Devonta Smith drop passes in preseason, and they went out there and lit it up. So I don't put a lot of stock into that.
Okay, that's good. I'm just pointing out.
Obviously, that you want
right
to
now the trend's not
it.
Aiming the right way. That's
correct.
All.
When we get into the season, you know, that's when it matters.
I do think he's going to have a lot better season with Jacoby Brissett being more of an on-time pocket passer than having short Kyler Murray, who's constantly running around with the chicken with his head cut off.
Right.
Like, I think that suits Marv better. he's not really like an improviser.
No,
I agree with that.
Marv is going to be able to feast this year for a couple of reasons. One, you got Trey McBride, who's the only 99 tight end that y'all just want to certify. So you got that.
Say we want to.
Oh,
We just asked the question.
No, he wants to.
Okay, fine.
So we got that going. And then Michael Wilson had such a great year last year. So if you're as a defensive coordinator, you was coming out and they said, give me the guy you're going to put your best corner on. Who would you pick?
Yeah, but that's a problem, isn't it?
Who would you pick? I'm asking.
I'm definitely not putting him on Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's my point. So Marv have ample opportunity this season.
Yeah, I thought you were
have a great season.
Okay,
because they're not game planning for him. That's right, why
fair.
I said if he doesn't produce this year, he's getting traded.
That's fair. I thought you were saying, well, look at all the other options they have. You can't blame him for not getting the ball as much. It's like, okay, I see what you're saying.
I'm saying he's going to get the one-on-one matchup.
Yeah, he'll have every opportunity.
He should win his one-on-one.
You're exactly right. All right, 2 minutes away. Kurt Cignetti dunked on the SEC. You will hear what he said next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Looking at some more incidents out on the road. Starting on the west side, we are still seeing a crash. 70 eastbound, just passing State Route 29. This is just north of West Jefferson. That right shoulder is currently restricted out there for you. Also, a heads up, if you are traveling through the north side, we are seeing a disabled vehicle affecting that 270 eastbound ramp to 71 south. So expect some lane closures out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Your home for football, food, and fun. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
What were you just asking me in the break? Where did you get this poll?
I was on Instagram and I seen this poll. And the poll is, which one would you rather for 6 months? Dylan?
6 months.
6 months. Would you rather 95 degree hot sunny weather, 6 months of snow every day, or 6 months of cloudy, rainy weather?
And probably what, like 50s? Something like that? 40s or 50s?
Cloudy, rainy, and no direct sunlight for 6 months straight.
So it's probably not like 90 degrees.
Seattle.
It's probably, yeah, okay, whatever. Whatever Seattle's like.
If it's raining heavy, no to that. Hate the cold. I guess I would take the 95 degree weather.
I take the 95 degree weather.
I said the same thing.
I used to be a lot more pro warm weather. Recently, I'm starting to go the other way.
It was too hot for you this year.
Like, yes. Like, that's really? The sun beating down on you just does not feel good.
Didn't you go, though? Like, don't you at your house, don't you keep your house warm?
It's not 95 degrees and sunny in there.
Right. How warm do you keep it at the house?
About 77 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's warm. I'm saying, like, you're someone not opposed to the heat.
It's not 95.
And you will still say 95 is a little too much.
When it's 95 outside and I walk into my house, it feels like you walked into a refrigerator at the gas station.
That's true. I acknowledge that. Like, you can keep
people
it warmer at the house.
Overkill. Like, you've trained people that are, there's going to be people that are going to be yelling, 77 degrees, my house is at 67 degrees. You just trained yourself. It wasn't necessary for you to do that.
Mm, yeah. Those people are named Common Man and Timmy.
Yes.
Listen to them from 3 to 6 p.m. every single day right here on the Fan.
So like you two, I picked the heat. The heat had 43%, snow had 12%, and rain had 44%. So it's what rain.
Oh, I know. That's what afternoons would pick.
Poll. And this is a poll.
They would pick cloudy and rainy and all that.
This
exactly
is a poll
right.
with 10,000 responses.
Okay. That's fine. I do. At least I like the fact that everyone agreed we don't want the snow. Like, because that snow's overrated. Like,
snow is something that you see. You want it for Christmas.
Yeah.
And you want to see it.
I was just saying,
once that happens, you want it gone.
As someone who does participate in the holiday of Christmas, if it snows like a foot about 10 p.m. on December 24th, and then that snow stays and it's like 25 degrees out for December 25th, by like 10 p.m. December 25th, I want the heat to come back on. I want to be up sunny and 50 degrees on December 26th for Boxing Day, as our friends in the UK say. And I want all that snow to melt. And the rest of the week, I want it to push near 60 or 70 degrees. I'm done. Like, as soon as we hit Christmas Day, get that snow out of here. I don't want to see it again.
You don't
ever.
You don't want to go, like, sledding with your kids?
No, I'll do that on Christmas Day. What else are we going to do? We bought them presents. Santa. What? Ooh. We work together, us, me and Santa. And, yeah. We all work together on that. Nah. He doesn't visit Dylan's house, yeah, but he does visit mine.
Santa can go to hell. And I tell him
wow.
To.
Yes. Selfish. Selfish. All right. This is, so Kurt Cignetti, Sigs, Indiana's head coach, went, what, 16-0 last year, ran through the Big Ten, ran through the college football playoffs, won the national Ooh-wee. Championship. Was he feeling his oats at Big Ten Media Day? Oh, yes, he was. This is what he said, kind of talking about some of the chatter in other conferences of college football.
The Big Ten is the best league in football, and a lot of really good football teams. It's hard to win on the road. Very physical football teams, very well coached. It definitely prepares you for the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fell short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain. All right? And that's why we're the best.
I like it. I got to tell you.
I knew he was going to do it.
Good for him. Good for him. Who's got anything to say to that man at this point? What can you say to him? Nothing. And yeah. I'll take it a step
he
further.
He went through the SEC, too, in his championship run. He beat Bama.
Yeah, he did. Did he? I'm sorry. You said he beat Bama BTA. Like it was a close
they
game.
They should have had Michael Irvin over there with the belt.
He beat Alabama the way that Alabama fans think they would beat, like, Purdue. You know what I mean? Like how all these SEC types are like, oh, in the Big Ten, you play these nothing football schools. Oh, you should come down south. Okay, they played one of your best teams and annihilated them for four. It wasn't even competitive. Yeah. So you can go ahead and miss me with all that you guys are this tough football conference. Now, obviously, I'm frustrated that the Buckeyes lost to Indiana, and I get why Buckeye fans would be mad about that. We all should be.
You know that but it's only the closest games that Indiana played was, I think, Ohio State and Iowa.
Oh, Iowa. I forgot about the Iowa game. You're right. That was close. Now, here's my question, though, is, like, I don't get why Buckeye fans just started off, default position is this guy sucks. Because, I mean, yeah, Kurt Cignetti. Like, he came in with
a... people said that.
Don't you remember when Ohio State beat Indiana that first year? Will Howard's on the sidelines doing the...
Throwing the
cigarette out, like, putting it down on the ground and stomping on
it. Which was warranted.
Well, but I'm saying why? Because all Kurt Cignetti did was say, I think we're good. Like, I think we're a good team, and I hope we go out there and win. And then, yeah, the Buckeyes beat them. And I'm saying Buckeye Nation was
beat them?
Yeah.
They just beat them?
No, they dominated.
They
dominated Indiana that year. You're right. But I'm saying, like, all of Buckeye Nation was like, ha, 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 yeah, that's what you get. It's vitriol that I would think would be reserved for, like, a Michigan or a Penn State. And Cignetti got that from day one. Now,
I think that's more of a respect thing than anything else. You're not putting the cigarette out against a team that you don't care about.
Cignetti got that because Cignetti came in talking
crazy. And he said he wanted to
talk crazy, or did he do... Now in year two, by the way, also want to point out, Urban Meyer didn't hand him a Ferrari of a program to run. He had to take Indiana football from nothing to 2 years later, undefeated in the Big Ten, the college football playoff, everything, and beat everybody in front of him and went 16-0 and won a championship.
Yeah.
And that guy, we're all saying, this guy talks too much.
Ooh.
Buckeye Nation. People seem to hate this guy.
First of all, since he got on the scene, I said, oh, I like this dude.
I do too.
I've been saying since 2 years ago, I said, that dude is Urban Meyer incarcerated. Exactly. I've been literally saying, I told you, I had a conversation, Leo DiCaprio, pointing at the TV, to Urban. And Urban's like, the guy is out of his mind. And I looked at Urban and I said,
that's you.
He's you. What are you talking about? And all he did Urban was laugh. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you Urban just went like to this.
Bowling Green in Utah and said, I think we're going to win. And that's essentially what Cignetti did when he got to Indiana. He was like, yeah, we can win.
I just wanted to pump the brakes on the people like Joshua Perry saying that he's already the greatest coach of all time.
Dude,
he's done the greatest coaching job.
He might be.
Bone, we don't need to find you a side team. Ohio State's your side team.
It's not
you're
a side
Indiana
team.
Fan now.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Oh,
you,
stop.
You think it's impossible for Ohio State to go into Bloomington and beat Indiana this
year?
You're talking up Cincinnati.
I never said that. You're lying. I never said that. All right. I'm going to have to scream at Dylan when we come back. Also, apparently everyone
is
mad at FIFA. Dylan, you're an idiot. Everybody is mad at FIFA. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Looking at some more incidents out on the road. Starting on the west side, we are still seeing a crash. 70 eastbound, just passing State Route 29. This is just north of West Jefferson. That right shoulder is currently restricted out there for you. Also, a heads up, if you are traveling through the north side, we are seeing a disabled vehicle affecting that 270 eastbound ramp to 71 south. So, expect some lane closures out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your FanCom.
Buckeye football camp is coming. And our team of fan personalities will be there live. Oh, the sweaty sack fun starts Thursday, August 6th. For tickets, head to Ticketmaster.com. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
The only contraband hiding in Tyvus's butt cheeks is a Kit Kat bar. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
So, Dylan, before the break, we were talking about Kurt Cignetti, Indiana. Kurt Cignetti took a nice shot at the SEC yesterday. I liked that he took that shot. That has now morphed into Indiana's my actual team. The Buckeyes are my side team.
Yeah.
Dylan, you've been on this airwaves saying you don't think Indiana's going to be any good this year. You think they're going to suck. Because they got a transfer quarterback. Yes. They pulled in some wide receivers from other places like
Nick Marsh.
Haven't we heard this before? Last year we heard like, oh, Kurt was one and done. He's not going to do that again. He's not going to be good this year.
First of all.
And then they went 16-0. I'm just saying, like, I don't think we can underestimate Indiana this year. I think they're going to be a very tough out yet again. I don't know if they're going to go 16-0, but I think they're going to be a very difficult game.
I think that, one, the odds are stacked against them because it's so hard to go back-to-back.
That's of course.
Two, when you look at, I agree with you that he does a great job, but if you go back and look at his team, you know, he used a bunch of guys that he's already had. You know, the recipe for winning the championship has bring back guys for the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 10th year. And that's been kind of the recipe. Obviously, they're trying to nip it in the bud. But a lot of his core players was his JMU guys that he brought over. And now that those guys are gone, he's got to get a new group of core guys. You know, when you lose great leadership, the question is, how do you replace that leadership? I don't know who that person is right now.
That's fair, but
that's what I'm saying. So, like, to me, that's why it's hard for me to be like, oh, this team's definitely going to go back and win.
Who was the quarterback they had from Ohio? Ohio University. Curtis Rourke. That's right. Yeah. Who injured his hand and that. But, like,
he's with the 49ers now?
He was dealing for them for a while, right? Yeah, that first season. And everybody said then, they're like, okay, well, like, when he first got the job, it was like, he's just bringing over a bunch of his James Madison guys. Mm-hmm. They're not going to win in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Now we're looking at that as if, well, he only won because he had all these James Madison guys. Like, that's a weird change that we've had over the last couple years with him.
No.
Year two was like, well, he lost that guy who played all this football. He's not coming back. You're bringing in some dude from Cal. He's not going to hold up in the Big Ten.
And then it turned out that guy
won the Heisman Trophy.
He's dealing with the same issue that Ohio State's going to deal with this year that all these teams that's getting a bunch of people out the portal's dealing with. You're taking guys from other cultures. How quickly can you get those guys to buy into what you're selling?
That's
what worries me.
In two years, he's done that.
I understand what you're saying. At the quarterback position is what you keep talking about.
No, but he's got a lot of transfers in before that. Also, last year, I remember hearing a lot of Buckeye Nation talking about, oh, yeah, of course, it'd be easy to win when you got the money that Indiana football has.
Tell me, who is this transfer person outside of the quarterback position that you just...
Didn't they bring in a bunch of transfers last year? Or am I making that up?
Who?
I don't know their roster off the top of my head, Tyvus, but I think a lot of the guys they had...
The only people you can think about is Elijah Surratt.
A big wide receiver they had.
He's been there. That's a James Madison guy.
Okay.
You take Aiden Fisher.
D'Angelo Ponce was D'Angelo also James Pond, Madison.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, all these people and all the impact players been with him this whole time.
Yeah, but
the
I don't understand.
Is the only one that's been the transfer that everybody knows.
All right.
That's fine. My point.
Fine. I'm just saying, like, the argument that keeps being made, we keep changing the goalposts on why Kurt Cignetti definitely won't be able to do it going forward. I know you're not. You're making some good points.
I'm saying, listen, Kirk, I'm a fan. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
and let me look at the given day schedule.
Yeah, I was going to say,
be right
that's
back.
What I was going to bring up.
Yeah,
they don't play Oregon. They play Ohio State at home. And then who else is on their schedule? North Texas would have been tough if anybody would have stayed there from last year. Their quarterback and head coach is at Oklahoma State now. That's the only thing they have going for them.
They're going to get Ohio State this year. Ohio State this year.
Let me be clear on something.
They ain't going to play nobody. It's going to be a lot of false hope.
We've gone from who's this delusional idiot from James Madison, Mr. Pitts.
Who is we?
A lot of the college football world, Tyvus.
I've been a fan.
I'm not talking about you. I'm saying a lot of Buckeye Nation specifically has been like, this dude came in talking just crazy stuff. He's never going to be able to do this. Never in a million years is he going to be able to do anything in Indiana. This guy's crazy. And then he goes out and did what he did the first year and got to a point, like you said, where Will Howard is snuffing him out on the sidelines at the end of the game saying, yeah, we showed Indiana that. That's a culture shift in year one that no one thought would be possible.
Mm-hmm.
Year two, they go undefeated and win the national championship. To me, it's like there was a team in England that won the English Premier League called Leicester. They like were +5,000 to 1 odds before the season. Like worse odds than you ever see in the NFL for like the Browns to win the Super Bowl. They had 10 times worse odds than that. They won the Premier League.
They were
outside of that.
Weren't they the most losingest?
They still might be. They still might be, even with all the winning the last 2 years. Like, I'm saying to turn Indiana football in 2 years to a national champion, we've never seen anything like that in college football, maybe not even in sports.
I agree.
And now what we're doing is like, yeah, they may lose 2 or 3 games this year. It's like Indiana football would have murdered everyone that they had in their family to be a 2 or 3 loss every year team.
I don't know.
And that's going to be their perceived down year in year three.
Teams y'all see that they're going to lose to.
They'll lose to Ohio State.
One.
Yeah, my point
unless
is
you got
like,
the Wolverines and USC, but
Bone doesn't think so.
What do you mean I don't think so?
Bone doesn't think the Buckeyes are going to Bloomington. And
I said it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game. It is. But this idea that like Kurt Cignetti's doing this just because he got a bunch of money from the boosters or what... Like, as if that isn't happening at other places. Kurt Cignetti's doing this at a school that I've... That's why Joshua Perry and I'm more aligned with him, where he's like, he may be the greatest coach of all time. Like, yeah, what he did at Indiana is insane to me.
I think he did the best singular coaching job.
Yeah, I agree.
Ever.
Okay, to say he's the best GOAT of all time. Yeah. So let's say Indiana never makes the playoffs again. Let's say that they turn into Iowa. Would he still be considered the greatest coach of all time?
Yeah. Because, dude, if he gets, what is Iowa most years? Wow. They're between 8 and 10 wins every year. If he has Indiana winning between 8 and 10 games every year for the rest of his tenure, yeah, that's insane. That is like, that's unprecedented.
Okay.
That's unprecedented.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, a team like Clemson, they're not historically good. But Dabo got there.
That's not the same.
Clemson
has a history of college football.
Wasn't Alabama not good until Saban?
No.
I mean, they had the whole Bear Bryant era.
They had 10 years where they'd fallen off. But yeah, they were good in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Like, Clemson had decades where they were excellent. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm saying all these schools, if this year, if Nebraska suddenly went off and won 11 games, made the college football playoffs, made a run, and won a title, insert laugh here. That would be an unprecedented, like, not unprecedented, that'd be a really good thing. That would be Matt Rhule figured some stuff out, got some dudes, and we'd all be shocked by that, right? But Nebraska had a history of football that was for decades. They were one of the elite programs, and then they've fallen off the last 30 years. It would still be amazing if he did that. That doesn't even compare to what Cignetti's doing. I'm just saying, like, and I remember talking to my dad last year. I was like, man, this Cignetti guy, huh? And he's like, oh, I can't stand him. He's a jerk.
Why do people hate him?
I don't. I'm saying, like, I have heard that from Buckeye fans, I don't get it.
I mean, I will admit when he came.
I think it's fear.
They
I think it's
they
fear.
They loved Urban, but they hate him. I don't understand it.
Who outside of the team that Urban Meyer coaches for likes Urban Meyer? The answer is nobody.
Well, I guess you got to
No, but that's my point is when I say no one likes this dude, I'm saying like as a college football fan, I respect the hell out of what he's done. But I feel like every year this moving of the goalposts like, yeah, well, they're not going to repeat this year. Okay. Indiana's not going to repeat as national champions. What if he does? If he does, then would you say greatest coach of all time?
Yeah.
If he does what? If he repeats this year, back to back, you have to say greatest coach of all time.
Greatest coaching job.
Greatest coach of all time. He's taking Indiana to back. If he does it, I'm saying he's already on the trajectory. He's on like a top five list right now. Like, I don't get the people who, like, you can be mad about the fact that he's not coaching your school.
I don't know.
You could be jealous of that.
For some odd reason, it's the fact that, like, y'all, it's like longevity don't mean nothing.
What do you mean?
Like, he's been coaching
for 30 years.
Like, the fact that Saban won 7 and dominated all those years, he deserves some respect over a guy that just did it once.
One time. Like,
the guy who did the 7 did it at Alabama, where everything was set up, and all he had to do was wake up the sleeping giant.
I understand that.
Kurt Cigetti went to Indiana to wake up the sleeping giant, and a poodle ran out. He's like, we got a lot of work to do. Like, there's nothing there. There was nothing there.
He woke up the sleeping giant 6 times.
Yeah, because he had the Giants, and he was just like, could you please become the Hulk now?
It's hard. It's just hard for me to say a guy's the greatest coach of all time with only one championship. I need this to play out. I got to let the whole coaching thing play out, and then let me look at his resume.
Okay, I don't need this. I've seen enough. I've seen enough. That guy, I'm saying he's in the category with Urban. You can put him up there with Saban. You can put him with anybody in my mind. He's like, I don't know that those guys could have done what he did at Indiana. That's my point. I'm saying that is something I will never know.
I think Urban could have done it.
Probably. There's a very good chance. We've never seen it. We have seen this guy do it. We've seen him do it. All right. I didn't get to the FIFA story. We'll talk about that at some point. Baker Mayfield feels disrespected. We'll talk about that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Starting Monday, you can expect some major repairs, culvert repairs happening on 33, which eventually turns into Riverside Drive. Both directions will be impacted too between Fishinger Road and Edgewood Road. It closes next Monday, August 3rd, but it's lasting 45 days when it comes to this project. That detour is eventually 33 to Fishinger Road, then Cemetery Road, 270, and from there, 161. You can eventually head towards 33. Also use this route, vice versa. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Network.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 3-2 last night. Hunter Green versus Paul Skeens is the expected pitching matchup for tonight's game, with first pitch scheduled for 6:10. Former Buckeye wideout Chris Olave signed a 4-year, $132 million deal with the Saints yesterday. Olave joins the list with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Garrett Wilson, and Terry McLaurin as former Ohio State wide receivers to get massive contract extensions this offseason. And finally, it was announced yesterday that Ohio State will host Butler in an exhibition game at The Shot Sunday, October 25th. Former Ohio State and Butler head coach Thad Mata will join T-Bone and Tyvus to talk about that and more this morning at 8:30. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co., locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation today. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
Remember the time producer Dylan said that Alabama should be in the playoffs and that Tyvus started yelling at him? Yeah, those were good times. And remember later that day when Tyvus punched him in the face? Oh, classic stuff. Here's T-Bone and Tyvus.
Jump in the YouTube chat. Go to YouTube, 971 The Fan. Click on T-Bone and Tyvus. Chat has gone a little fired up today because of my Kurt Cigetti. Our conversations we've been having about Kurt Cigetti, where I said,
"What, they don't like him either?"
I'd put him in the category of up there with the greatest in college football history as a coach. After what he's done 2 years at Indiana, and I had Reiki 7857. Not sure how to say that. Anyway, said, you know, hey, this guy brought in a lot of transfers. That's how Kurt Cigetti built his program. And I said, well, hold on, I thought it was all James Madison transfers that came in. I thought it was just that. He just brought guys from JMU. And then he pointed out, they pointed out in the stat here that 31 transfer portal additions from his initial 2024 overhaul, including 13 who followed him from James Madison. So he brought some JMU guys, but he went out and got some guys too. I'm just saying.
Do they got the names?
No, he didn't put the names
in.
But I'm just saying, like, the guy has shown he can do stuff in the transfer portal. That is the game now in college football. Like it or lump it, that's what it is. And I just feel like,
What are we arguing here?
I think we're
arguing that Indiana's not going to have a good season? Because I never said that.
No, I know that. I'm saying, like, I still don't understand why people don't give him the respect that I, like, when I say things like he's...
What are you talking about? What do you mean they don't give him the
respect? We just had an argument out. Like, we're talking about how he's not one of
the... The only thing that... The only argument there is that you're crowning him as the greatest coach of all time.
I said he's in the conversation.
No. You said, I'm with Joshua Perry. He's the greatest coach of all time.
Okay, let me amend.
So, like, that's...
Let me amend. Let me amend.
Outside of that, I have nothing to say about anything Indiana or... Because I like Kirk Cignetti. I think he's one of the best coaches I've seen. So, I have no issue with Kirk Cignetti at all. I have no issue with Indiana at all.
All I'm saying is I feel like, yeah, I'll say I think he's in the conversation for greatest of all time, but I keep hearing this stuff like, oh, he just had one great season. No, he had two great seasons.
One good season. No, he had two great seasons.
At Indiana. Like, that is the point. We're not talking about him going to Texas and doing this, or Ohio State or Alabama. He's doing this at Indiana,
folks. This is hypocritical, Bone.
Why is it hypocritical?
Pat Fitzgerald had great seasons at Northwestern. You're like, oh, for Northwestern. But we have the bar so low for them.
No.
These aren't great seasons anywhere else.
Dylan, did I miss the Pat Fitzgerald National Championship to happen in Northwestern? What are we talking
about? I'm talking about
this
first season.
This man would win seven games and they'd be like, this is the greatest coach we've ever seen in college football history. I'm saying with Kurt Cignetti, the guy actually did it at a worse program and he's had success.
So for the naysayers like me on Cignetti, it's just like, hey, I agree that last season might have been the greatest coaching job ever. I think that that season by Indiana might be the greatest season in college football history. Great. Do it again. That's it.
Okay. All right.
That's it. All right.
That's it.
I mean, I get it, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying do it again this year.
Do it again at some point.
That's such a ridiculous standard to be like, oh, yeah, he did do the greatest thing we've ever seen in college football. Well, now do that again, and then I might give you credit. Like, that just doesn't make sense.
I just think that's the part that doesn't make sense. I think where it's getting lost is, and I think this is where the argument is that you and Joshua, y'all are all on enamored, and Baker, because Baker's on the same train. I think that y'all are on the wave that because it's at Indiana,
yes,
it makes it unbelievable.
Context matters.
And I think that people are saying, I agree that in going to Indiana and pulling that off of Indiana does make it remarkable. But the fact to say, if he finishes his career and never wins another championship, to still say that he is the greatest coach of all time is crazy.
Well,
it sounds
okay,
crazy.
But think about it.
That's where I think everybody else is. To say, yes, it is the greatest turnaround in college football that we have ever seen. No doubt that is not even debatable.
Yeah.
To go to Indiana, the worst, the most losingest program in college football, and turn them into a national champion in 2 years is by far the most greatest thing we've ever seen a head coach do. But to say if he never wins another one, not even this year, ever, until say that he is still the greatest coach of all time, that is where I think you're losing a lot.
I mean, that's hard. I can lose them.
It's hard.
It's hard for people to see genius in its own day. You'll have to wait till, like, I'm dead and gone, and then people will be sitting there realizing
if you're such a great coach, at some point you should be able to get back to the game and win it.
I agree with that.
Right.
And by the way, Urban, like, people pointed this out in the chat, and they're right. He was at Utah and went undefeated. Okay. If there were a playoff back then, maybe he would have been in it, and maybe he would have done a Kurt Cignetti back then. It obviously bore out since then that he went other places. He was also much younger when he started that tenure. This is Kurt Cignetti's first, like, big time, if you want to call JMU a big time job, but, like, outside of that level of college football, he moved up to the big boy teams, right? The big power conference football. And in 2 years, this is what he's done. I'm just saying he's probably not going to have the opportunity to coach for 20 more years to see if he can add three or four national championships. It's the thing we do in sports where it's like this guy won, and the whole time in sports, this is a bigger problem I have, is we're like, this guy will never win. This team can't do it. Then they do it. We have the celebration for like 2 seconds, and then we're like, all right, do it again, though. Now, not, if you're that see, good, I'm do not, it again. And
I'm
it's
not
like,
there. I,
you that's get, what it feels like. You give me, not you, but like
you give me
a lot
one
of people.
More, one more.
Okay.
We get, I'll definitely start to be on that train.
I'm okay. with that, too. If he coaches there for like 5 more years, they win an average of 10 games a year, and he wins another one, I might hop okay. on the crazy train okay. with you.
All right. All right. That's fine. I just tell you, I wonder this. Who would you take in college football right now if you had you have your choice of the field or Kurt Cignetti? How many guys would you say, oh, I don't want Kurt Cignetti. I want that guy. How short's that list?
Very. Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying it might Very. Be one or none.
Probably.
It's probably for me, it's probably none.
Probably.
I'm
probably right
what
there
What that guy
you.
Did with nothing
yep.
compared to what now. I mean, I don't think there's a guy in college football I would take over Kurt Cignetti right now.
Yeah, currently. But, I mean, there's guys like Nick Saban or Urban Meyer that I would prefer to have in the all-time.
That's my whole point. He's in the all-time discussion. That's what I should have said. Not that he is the greatest of all time, but he's in that discussion
oh, no, see,
for me.
That when you and Josh are on two different wavelengths.
I said that. I said, let me amend it. Like, I'll say he's in the conversation
Joshua
of greatest.
Joshua blowing my phone up. He talking about, he bringing up Kirk
now,
Ferris.
Joshua Ferris in the
he
chat
bringing
now,
up
too.
Kirk Ferris and Ed O. I'm like, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
Just saying, guys like Pat Fitzgerald have gotten a lot of credit for like doing way less at Northwestern. I think there are people who genuinely think Pat Fitzgerald is one of the greatest coaches of all time. I don't. We'll see what he does at Michigan State. That's a school that should have the resources, should have more ability to win than Northwestern. Let's see if that guy turns it around. In 2 years, let's see if he can turn that from being what Michigan State's been the last 10 years to being like
Joshua,
a Big Ten competitor.
Joshua's pointing, because I know he's listening and I don't feel like texting it back to him. So Joshua is saying that with the part that we're not mentioning about Sig is his ability to identify talent and develop talent, right?
Bang.
Joshua's saying that reading counting when comparing Bama and IU shouldn't be a factor. Okay.
When agreed. It's all, 6-1.
Listen, all of that is fair. This is what I'll say. Joshua, when James turns, let's say when little James turns 30 years old, right?
He named James after James Madison. Do you know that?
when James turns 30 years old, right? They're going to say, they're going to ask him, hey, who you think is the greatest coach of all time? And James, right now, he really doesn't know. You know, obviously
he doesn't know.
His father's going to tell him about coaches and stuff like that and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, there's going to be some guy out there that's going to look up who won the most championships. What's the rings look like?
Yeah.
And they're going to see Sig with one. And they're going to say, there's no way that you could say that this guy is the greatest of all time. They're all rings shouldn't matter,
if
but at the end of
ends,
the day, that's what's going to be the defining.
I think
factor.
Joshua's doing more of a projection.
Fair,
I think he's
that's
doing
just
a projection.
What it is.
But I think I can't speak for him. I'm just saying. I think that's
all the development and stuff. I agree with you.
But
that
I think
is,
just looking
that is
at,
extremely important. Yeah. But at the end of the day, when you're arguing 20 years from now, they're going to say, well, how many championships he win?
All
and
right.
if you say one, they're going to look at you crazy.
Here, this is the only other point I'll make. And I promise we'll table this. We'll actually do something else other than argue about Kurt Cignetti for an hour. But like, if you win a championship at Ohio University in football, that is so much more.
It means more. Yeah.
Like impressive than if you win one at Ohio State, because Ohio State's been that way. Every coach of the last, since I've been alive, basically outside of John Cooper and Earl Bruce, has won a national championship here. So I'm saying, like, that's where I think the GOAT conversation comes in with Cignetti is, like, Indiana just literally did not care about football until 2 years ago. And now, suddenly, I know when you played them, Tyvus, you had a game where they played y'all tough. I remember
they
that.
They played us tough every year. it seemed like for us, they turned into, like,
Urban
New
had
England
that.
Patriots.
Urban had that thing, didn't he, where there was, like, a Purdue game, there was an Iowa game, there were just teams that didn't belong in that conversation, somehow got into it.
Zeke had to score from 55, 65, and 75 yards for us to win a game against Indiana.
Damn. That's crazy. All right. Baker Mayfield, he is feeling disrespected. Dylan is dancing on the fact that Baker feels disrespected. We'll play the audio next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning, and a heads up here. If you are traveling on that southeast side of Columbus by Groveport, we are noticing a crash involving a semi 270 in that southbound direction. Right at Williams Road, you can see two right lanes that are closed out there. 6 miles per hour. When it comes to your speeds, folks, that's looking at a 19-minute delay so far for you on this Friday. Get off and use some alternate routes, including Allen Creek Drive, as well as South Hamilton Road and Groveport Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Join Rothman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week. But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Real nice start to the day out there with a lot of sunshine. Just some passing clouds popping up for the afternoon. We'll see high temperatures in the lower 80s. For tomorrow, some high clouds gradually stream in from the west. We'll call it partly to mostly sunny. Just a touch warmer tomorrow, mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Every time Tyvus laughs, take a drink. Just kidding. You'd be dead in 30 seconds. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Just because you're getting older doesn't mean you have to feel like it. If your energy is low, sleep is off, weight won't budge, and your mind feels foggy, and your sex drive isn't what it used to be, it's time to switch things up. It is time for you to go see my people at Tri-State Men's Health. If you got any of these symptoms, go to TriStateMen'sHealth.com and take their low-T quiz. After that, you want to schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health. It's only $99 right now. They got 6 locations, 2 of them located in Columbus. One is in Hilliard, the other one's in Westerville. Don't ignore the signs. Call today and take the first steps towards feeling better again. 800-900-9654. Visit TriStateMen'sHealth.com. Featured therapies are compounded and have not been evaluated nor approved by the FDA. Provider prescription requires. See websites for details. All right. This is the last thing that I'm going to say about Sig and Indiana, and I promise you I'm done with it. I'm not bringing it up.
We're probably not done
with it. We're probably not done with it. Sitting here talking to T-Bone, we've cracked the Da Vinci Code. I figured out why I don't look at it as just like this is just incredible and
winning,
it's crazy.
Him winning a championship at Indiana.
Do you know why, Dylan? Because when I played Indiana 4 times, 2 of the 4, we about lost the game. Do you know that? We about lost 12 and 15. We was on pins and needles against Indiana. And just walking away from them games, I always said to myself, like, they not bad. Like, they just don't believe in themselves. Like, they got people there. But, like, they just don't believe in it. And now they got a coach that believe in them.
Well,
and now
that's true.
So, to me, it's like, that's probably why I can't get there. Because I, like, personally played them before. And I was like, they not bad.
I definitely remember.
But I understand, like, even arguing with Josh about it, like, historically, they are the worst program.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's
like,
no
that
disputing that.
But, like, to actually have played against them and almost lost is like... they not as bad, or we just wasn't that good. One of the two.
Yeah.
So that's what it was for me. I think that's why I can't get there.
I remember being at, I'm pretty sure, I know I was at the casino for an Indiana game. I'm pretty sure it was the
12.
One, the 51-48.
That's 52-49.
I feel like that's around the time that
one was
Hollywood Casino Columbus that opened up.
That was a shame.
Because I know I was there for like just checking it out for the first weekend or mm-hmm. one of the early weekends that it was open. And I remember walking around. It was the first time I went anyway. Let's put it that way. And I was walking around in there, and I was like, oh, yeah, Indiana game's tonight, but Ohio State's going to roll Indiana, so I don't have to worry about that too much. I'm going to be at the casino anyway. I'm sure they'll have it on. And I was walking around like, yeah, this will be fine. So I'm walking around, and they had it on TV.
Yeah.
I kept looking up and being like, okay, Buckeyes are up like, oh, it was like 21-14, 23-14.
It
was like 31-17. And I'm like, okay, they're not like
45-27 with 14 minutes to play in the fourth quarter.
And what was the final score?
The final score was 52-49.
And I remember, I got into my car after being at the casino because I just kind of like walked through, played a couple games and was like, all right, I did the slot machines. And I'm like, all right, that was good enough. I got it. That was fun. And then I got out to my car and of course I flip it on The Fan
And I hear Paul and Jim in the game. I had like lost track of the game. And I get in the car and I hear Paul like, third down, 17 to go. This is, and I'm like, whoa, wait, what? Like, it was intense, Paul Keels. It was like Michigan Big Ten championship game level Paul Keels, not like Paul Keels at the end of the fourth quarter of, you know, a blowout where you're like, there's a little bit more. The crowd noise was there. Yeah. I'm like, something's going on.
It's crazy.
And then they reset the score. I don't remember what it was, but I remember panicking, be like, Josh, we're in a game? How is this a game?
Josh said that they were 6-7 that year. That's even worse.
6-7.
That's even worse.
Don't do this hand signal. Baker will come here and rip our arms off if we do
that's
that.
Even worse. No,
but to me, there's like two aspects of greatness. Like people like Mike Tyson and Shaq had like small windows where they were arguably like the most dominant a few years. Right?
I don't know if I'd agree with that, but okay.
Yes. Not, there
how small are we talking?
They weren't dominating their sport for like 10 years.
7 or 8 years? That's not Shaq, a small window to like, be the greatest one out there? That's not small.
No. No one considers Mike or Shaq the greatest in their sport. Nobody does. If you know boxing,
Shaq, the best center to me. What you talking about?
He's not. He's not in the greatest of all time conversation.
Let's not use those examples. I understand your bigger point. It's like Jeremy Lin small can windows. Have like a moment, and that
that's
doesn't
disrespectful.
Mean,
Jeremy Lin, take him out of this. And then you have people that have done it for a long period of time, and longevity counts towards greatness as well. I just want some of that for Kurt Cignetti before we even have this conversation.
Well, the argument for him would be that he was even successful before he got to Indiana.
I get that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's some situations that have to be looked at, which is like he chose to go take smaller jobs for like family reasons and other stuff. Like he wasn't like immediately the second he got an assistant head coaching job, 2 years later, he's taking an offensive coordinator. 2 years later, he's jumping to a program to like build the resume. He wasn't motivated like that. He was just like, I want to coach ball. I respect that. But like, I get that factors in because he wasn't, what is he now, in his 60s? He's got to be like 62, 63 years old. So I'm saying like, he's not going to have 20 years of coaching at Bowling Green, Utah, Florida. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to have to do all of his resume building essentially at Indiana. But yeah, I'm saying what he's already done to me, I've seen enough to put him in the category with the best to ever do it. If you need more evidence, that's fine. How about this? Fan poll today brought to you by JT's Pizza Pub, since we're on this Kurt Cignetti thing. I think we should make the fan poll which current. Not all time, current coaches in college football, would you take over Kurt Cignetti? And then the number can be zero. Like, how many current college coaches would you take over Kurt Cignetti? Zero, one, or two or more? I think most people are picking zero or one. I don't think I think it's a little bit of bias. I don't think most people are picking two plus over him. I don't see it. Right now, currently coaching in college football. That's what, I think we can make that the fan poll today. See how that goes. Baker Mayfield, your guy, Dylan, he is feeling very disrespected about not getting his new contract. This was at camp yesterday with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've told you guys I've been pretty upfront and honest about my feelings about Tampa. It being home for now, our family, we're raising kids here. We love it here. I wanted the deal done and set the deadline and told them it was going to be all ball after that. And I did mean that. And I don't know if they thought I was just going to take some of the offers that they gave, but I'm at the point of my career and understanding what I've brought to this franchise. One, I'm very, very thankful for the chance they gave me. Do not get me wrong on that. But I've also I really know what I've brought to this franchise, leadership-wise, and even play-wise. It's been some of the best years of my career, and I think it's only going to trend upwards, just being comfortable and feeling that. So disappointing in that regard to not have, you know, to feel disrespected a little bit.
Do we feel like those are fair statements from Baker Mayfield?
Hell nah.
That he feels.
I knew you wouldn't, Dylan. I knew you wouldn't.
That he feels disrespected. I mean, I understand it. Of course you want a deal done. Of course you would view yourself as a franchise guy. He has had his best seasons with them. What, back-to-back 4,000-yard seasons? So I get it. But I think that they probably were the Browns were. And it's funny because we give all the crap to the Browns about how, you know, they did Baker and how they didn't have a decision made with Baker. And then here we are, what, years later, and he's dealing with the same thing. And it's, again, it's a proof of year. You got to go out there and he's got to prove it. And the good news is this. he holds all the cards. He goes out there and he balls, and he think that, hey, you know what? Y'all didn't want to pay me. I'm hitting free agency, and you have a great year. You can hit the bag somewhere else. See, I mean, it is what it is.
That point you just made is why I don't understand the Baker Bros, Tyvus. It's yet another franchise that is iffy about Baker Mayfield, but yet all the teams that he plays for are the problem. He's not the problem.
Well,
and he says he's a franchise quarterback. He's been there 3 years. I believe they've won one playoff game. Like that's what you're going to get with Baker. You're going to be fringe playoff team. You can maybe win a game. It's never going to be anything more than that. So it's like, are you happy with that? Or would you rather let him go, bring in another quarterback, draft another quarterback, and hope that you can get Super Bowl contender good? Because with Baker Mayfield, you're just going to be a fringe playoff contender every year.
I'll tell you this. I think the problem with Baker is somewhat self-inflicted for him. Because everyone in that building knows he's not going to hold out. Everyone knows he's one of those guys who's like, well, I don't care. I'd be doing this for free in my backyard. He'd be one of those guys playing U-37 football if they let it. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a gamer, and he wants to go out there and compete. And a lot of guys in the NFL want to do that. Tyvus, you want to do that. Everybody wanted to do that. When you go out and make it known that, like, hey, I'm not holding out if you don't give me a new contract, they're probably like, great. We know you're going to go out there and compete, and you're probably more pissed off because we didn't give you this contract. Now, they know that's a risk. They'll have to pay for it. But I'm just saying, it's a good lesson in life. Like, I don't tell the bosses around here, I'm not like, oh, I'd do this for free. No, I would not. I would need to be paid to do this. Not that I don't love doing it, but like, when Baker's the type of guy who's like, I don't need to be paid. I'm out here doing it. No, I need to be paid. They need to know that.
The interesting thing would be is if he got hurt, would he go out there and continue to play?
Oh, that's, yeah, right.
If he got hurt this season,
would he? Oh, yeah, you have to think about that.
Yeah, because he's an idiot. He hasn't learned his lesson.
That's what I'm saying. Like, part of it's self-inflicted on him. Where it's like,
it cost him a ton of money the last time.
Well, it sure did. And I'm saying if I were running the Bucks, I'd say, yeah. And I mean, granted, they're also doing this to Vita Vea, right? Like, who's older and who knows how many, you know, years are left on the tread there. But, like, He's still very productive, gets more double teams than almost anybody on the defensive line in the NFL, and they didn't want to pay that guy either. So, like, it might just be the Bucks are just not into paying guys until they see what they need to see, but Baker is not doing himself any favors by going on saying, yeah, I'm definitely not holding out. If you threatened from day one, I'm holding out and I won't play, they probably get you a contract. That's the reality of it. Michigan's new head coach wants to hang out with Urban Meyer. Details in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Just one more night when it comes to this ramp closure with some continued repairs downtown. It's that once again 71 northbound ramp to 70 eastbound starting as early as 10 p.m. Crews though will be wrapped up by 5 a.m. tomorrow Saturday morning out there. That detour 71 northbound to eventually 315, then 670 eastbound, and from there you'll go northbound on 71. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Outcome. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. If your kid is complaining about not wanting to go to school, blast the volume on this show. You won't have any more problems. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
I don't want to do this. I really don't. Okay? But I saw this comment in the chat. Uncle Snug 77, thank you for your comment, said, judging by the current Cignetti standard, is the coach from Leicester City, the team I was telling you won the Premier League when they were like 5,000-1 odds to win it?
Yes.
Is he the greatest ever? And if so, do you know his name off the top of your head? Well, you are asking the wrong person for this point, because yes, of course I do. His name is Claudio Ranieri. And he had a track record of taking teams from like the third division in soccer and getting them promoted up to the top level and then winning cups with those teams. So I don't know if he's the GOAT, but that guy had like,
no. I'm saying the same standard.
No,
it is.
No. Hang on.
Yes, he is.
What I said is let me finish. Can I finish? He's in the conversation, yes, for greatest soccer coaches of all time because of a track record of what he's done.
No conversation about it.
I said Cignetti's in the conversation with any of these other guys.
What's the conversation?
It's conversation.
Can I ask how long homeboy stayed with Leicester City after that happened?
they fired his ass the next year because it's really? English. Oh, English really? Soccer. Dude, English soccer is like that. English soccer. This guy literally won the greatest championship in the history of sports, possibly. And I think it was like 18 months later, they were like, sorry, bloke, we're not liking the vibes. And they fired him. They got completely rid of that guy in like 18 months. Yeah, English soccer is not the same as any. There's not. Do you think college football standards are insane? You have no idea what you're talking about when you go over to Europe. They will fire someone who was born in the city where the club exists. He played for the club. He lives for the club. He dies for the club. Two bad seasons. See ya.
I'm excited for football. I am really excited to see Indiana this year. I really
it's
going to
be something.
Because they do got a layup of a schedule.
I mean, they could be right back in the mix again. We'll find out.
They should be.
But I hope Ohio State goes out there and drills them. And I hope that we don't have any more Kurt Cignetti 1, 2, 3, 4 champ. I hope we don't have that because that's bad for Ohio State.
They beat Ohio State this year.
I don't want to even think about it. Stop. I don't want to think about it. I know. I'm going to tell you, right? I heard something yesterday. Kyle Whittingham, new coach at Michigan. Folks, I feel good about this guy. I like this guy at Michigan.
Did I tell you that before?
No, that's because you just hate Utah indiscriminately. I don't know why. You've never liked them.
No. It's not that I hate Utah.
You do. You hate the team. You hate the state of Utah. You hate dirty sodas. You don't like the Mormon Wives show. You hate everything about Utah. That's what you heard.
I felt like people gassed them up. I really did. Like, I just, at the end of the day, it's Utah. Like, what are we doing here?
Okay.
Like, yeah,
that's right. That's fine.
Kirk said that he go to Utah and win a championship.
That's what he did.
He ain't did
he went to Indiana.
No. This is even Utah, even worse.
All right. Kyle Whittingham. This is him yesterday talking about the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry and if he's understood the hatred that's involved in that rivalry.
I haven't learned really much more than I already knew. I mean, it's a national game. I mean, everybody knows about it. It's the game, as we call it. And it's of great importance, obviously, to both sides. But I'm an old school coach. You know, we got 11 games that we play before that, so we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. But make no mistake, I understand the implications that it has. A friend of mine, Urban Meyer, you know, he was at the other place for a few years, and we'd talk about the game during over the course of that time span. And so very well versed in what it means, the intensity of it, the national allure that it has. And our players are the same. I mean, everybody knows that game's looming out there. And I think the best case scenario, it comes down to that 12th game, and that's for all the marbles in the Big Ten. I think that would be ideal. And so hopefully that happens.
He went on to say, I've learned how intense that rivalry is and how important that game is. Hate is a strong word.
Mm.
Ooh, hate is a strong word, but I want to win that game as badly as anyone in Ann Arbor. I just think a rivalry can be intense and emotional without the hatred factor.
Mm.
I don't think there's any place for that personally. I think Ryan Day is a good person.
Mm.
To sit here and say I hate Ryan Day, I'd be making crap up because that's not true.
He didn't say this.
He said all of it. Kyle Whittingham seems like a very nice man, and it is going to be really fun to go up there and truck them by 50.
I think they come down here this year.
Well, whatever. It's down here this year, up there next year. I'm just saying.
Did he say this?
Ryan Day's going to get back over 500 against Michigan. Bang. Yes. Yes.
This is,
I got one worse for you. Did you hear what he said when they asked him about Urban wanting to come to practice? Because, you know, he and Urban, obviously, Urban coached at Utah. Kyle Whittingham's on the staff. Urban leaves. I believe Kyle Whittingham was there ever since Urban.
Yeah, he's that's been there the whole time.
Yeah. Yes. So that's his boy. That's his dude. They are like close.
Okay.
So he said, hey, someone asked him if Urban wants to come up to practice to watch practice, given he's a member of the media and he's your friend. What would you say to that? And here's what this man said.
If Urban wants to come to practice, he can come every week but one. One week he can't come.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen. We went from Michigan being the school that hired cheaters, right? They hired Cotter Stallions, the vacuum cleaner salesman. This guy was doing all the secret agent stuff, putting the mask on to go on the Central Michigan sidelines. We went from them being that to now their head coach is essentially Urban Meyer's groomed Manchurian candidate, where all he has to do is whisper into his ear, like, I don't know, dirty soda. And then he just like goes off and tells Urban all the state secrets. We are winning. This is great. We have a guy now who just loves Urban Meyer, wants him to come up and watch practice. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Urban, thank you very much for your service and what you've done. You've groomed this man into your acolyte, and now he's going to invite you to practice for all the state secrets to be laid out.
I'm mad about it.
Why are you mad? It's Michigan. Good.
Because I like a good, intense rivalry. He's trying to water it down, man.
He's
trying to water it down. Like, I don't like people. It's just another game. No, it ain't.
Oh, I love
no,
it.
No, it is not.
Listen, as a child of the 90s who had to hear that from a certain head coach who was here in the 90s, John Cooper, I am excited to hear this from Kyle Whittingham. My guy.
He's watering it down, man.
I don't know how to feel bad about that.
He need more intensity.
I don't want to win the game. I want to beat them 72-0 and then be going for 2-point conversions as we're doing it. Like, I don't even, 72-0 mathematically, well, who cares? The point is, I want them to win by as many as possible. 84-0. I don't know. Whatever the score you want.
We're still waiting for 100.
Please do it.
He might now.
Do it.
He just might now.
Yeah. No, I think you, what's crazy is he'll probably have them more consistently playing good football over the course of the season. Like, they'll probably be more in the 9-10 win camp than they have been the last few, I don't know, 20 years. But I feel like when it comes to that Michigan game, he is not going to be in the same spot. I don't think you're ready for coming down to Ohio State and hearing the stuff you're going to hear. Ooh, you've been coaching at Utah.
Was Utah State, was that the rivalry?
Yeah.
BYU. BYU.
Yeah. Was it Utah? Utah State was probably rival too, though, right?
Yeah.
But which one's the Holy War? Is that Utah? BYU? Yeah.
Utah. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sure it gets rowdy, but like.
Rowdy. Yeah.
Like, oh, shucks. Dang it. You dirtbag. Like, I don't know if you're going to get the same vitriol. We serve alcohol here. I'm just saying. That's going to be a little. I don't know if you know that. Like, we start drinking days before that game. So just be prepared. Kyle Whittingham is not ready for
this.
They
drink dirty sodas and flip tables over there.
Yeah, that's fine. That's,
people here.
They got a dancing cougar.
And will burn the city.
Yes. Your rival has a dancing cougar. Like, we burn the city down when we don't. Yeah, it's different over here. So, all right.
I hear that Tyler Congrats. Thinks that BYU's mascot's better than Brutus, but I can't confirm that.
I would never say that.
You do think Oregon's mascot is better. You said that to Brutus's face last year.
1A, 1B.
That's bad.
No, he didn't say it to his face. He said it behind his back, and then when Brutus came in here, he was like, no, Brutus, you're great. You're the greatest.
I said they 1A, 1B.
By the way, 50 minutes from now, we are going to have Thad Matta join us. Buckeyes scheduled an exhibition game with Butler. Thad Matta is still an advisor at Butler. Obviously, he is done coaching there, but we will talk to the former Buckeye basketball coach and Butler legend Thad Matta coming up in at 8:30. We will talk to him. But coming up next, Dylan, we have a game show, right? What's the game show today?
We do. And because we're having Thad Matta on, we're going to name that Buckeye basketball player, and they will all be players that played under Thad Matta.
Oh, I got zero chance.
This is where we will be bad. That's coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Just one more night when it comes to this ramp closure with some continued repairs downtown. It's that, once again, 71 northbound ramp to 70 eastbound starting as early as 10 p.m. Crews, though, will be wrapped up by 5 a.m. tomorrow, Saturday morning out there. That detour, 71 northbound to eventually 315, then 670 eastbound, and from there, you'll go northbound on 71. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan News.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we're at the Ohio State Golf Club to preview the upcoming seasons with men's coach Jay Mosley and women's coach Lisa Strom.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
One of these men is bald and fat. The other is T-Bone. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
You want to hit us up, you can. We got the voicemail line going, 614-460-8010. Keep the number in your phone, even if there's nothing you want to talk about now. You never know. Over the weekend, you could see something. You may think, I gotta get that to the guys. I got to let them know. Put the voicemail in there. We'll have it Monday if we hear from you. Or maybe this morning if we hear from you, we could do that too. 614-460-8010. The chat just continues to have fun with this Kurt Signe. Did we get the fan poll up?
We did.
All right. Fan poll brought to you by JT's Pizza Pub. What is the actual fan poll today, Dylan?
Oh, man. Let me see how I actually worded it.
This here, I'll look it up. I got it right here.
How many current college head coaches would you take over Kurt Cignetti?
Oh, all right. 0, 1, or 2+?
Zero, 1, 2, or 3+.
Okay. All right. There you go. You can vote now. Just go to anywhere you find 971 The Fan. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. It'll be all in all those places. You can vote there. I'm going to go check and see what the results are after we do the game show.
Oh my God.
Let's do this game show first, Tyvus. We are both going to suck at this.
I don't think you guys will.
Timmy is going to kill us.
All right. I always tell people this. Like, this is how my brain works. When it's jacket season, I get all the numbers. I get back into jackets lore. I get back into all that stuff. If you ask me right now some jacket stuff, my brain would take, I don't know, 5 minutes to get it back because it's all compartmentalized and it's off my brain right now. I'm more into NFL college football mode. Same thing with college basketball. Get me into, you know, December, January, February, my brain will be back in college basketball mode. So this is going to be interesting to see how much of my brain is actually going to retain any info from the history of Buckeye basketball. But let's give it a shot, Dylan. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, so I sent the guys a list of Buckeye basketball players, and they will describe their list to the other one.
Wait, sent us what?
Yes.
He texted to you.
Oh, yes. I didn't even know this. Okay. Yes.
That's why I'm informing you right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. I see.
So, Bone, you want to go first?
So what do I have to do?
So without saying their name, describe to Tyvus each person, and he has to say their name.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
First one. Here you go. Here you go. I got it. I got it. No, you get this. I can get you. I can get this to you.
30 seconds to get five.
Oh, I have to do all. I thought I was just doing one at a time. We're going back and forth. I got to do all these?
Yep. All of them in 30 seconds.
Hey, go get it. What?
All right. All right. All right.
You ready?
Jerry Sellinger.
All right. Now to start off. Sorry. Ready, set, wait. Start the clock. I wasn't ready. Okay. Give me a 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
Rosy cheeks. Defender.
Aircraft.
Bang. If your brother hates me.
Jake Diebler.
No,
John
other
Diebler.
Brother hates me. His brother hates me. You just said his name.
John
Two-time Diebler. All-American.
He just said it.
Jake Diebler, John Diebler.
No. Your friend who called Rothman and Ice, who hated me, and his brother is really good.
J.J. Sellinger.
Yeah, who's his brother?
Jared Sellinger.
Thank you.
You got a lot of people that hate you, bro. That's fair.
That's fair.
That was bad.
I kept saying no, and you're like, Jake Diebler, John Diebler, Jim Diebler, Jefferson Diebler. It's like, stop with Diebler. It's not him. You think Jake Diebler?
That's not a great thing to say. They hate
Jake
me.
Diebler
Everybody
hates me.
Hates you, bro.
Why does Jake Diebler hate me? That's all I've said is the truth.
I don't know what. Tyvus got 2 out of 5.
I mean, I screwed him up. That's on me. I really screwed him up. That's like saying, which fast food place do I prefer? At times, it's like Taco Bell, McDonald's, Burger King, KFC. I don't know. You eat at all of them. That's fair.
I'm the one who gave you the list, and when he was guessing the whole Diebler family, I was like, where is he wrong? Just because how you described it.
I thought you would remember that last year he called in to Rothman and Ice, was like, I don't know who this idiot is who thinks that we've got a bunch of guys who can't shoot. They're not going to go to the first round and lose to some crappy team, and these stats are wrong, and then I was proven right. I know everything about Buckeye basketball. I stand not corrected. I was correct.
All right.
Didn't call back in after the Buckeyes got bounced in the first round. Just going to point that out, JJ.
I might can get all five of these.
You let me know
That's
when
right.
you're ready,
Tyvus.
All right, I'm ready.
All right.
Okay. You give me the countdown?
Yes. There it is.
All right, best center to play at Ohio State. Number one pick in the draft.
Greg Oden.
Thank you. One of the top point guards went to the Lakers.
Oh, D'Angelo Russell.
Bang. Brother is the coach.
Oh,
okay.
Why did you think it was John Diebler?
Right, you said it.
Because you had it on
best
your list.
Big Ten hit the shot against the team up north.
Evan Turner.
Bang. Arguably, point guard still playing the NBA.
Oh, McConley. Mike Conley Jr., baby.
Yeah.
See, Tyvus
did a great job describing those. I'm putting that all on Tyvus.
He did. All right, can I try the rest of my list? Can I try the rest? Even though I didn't get where obviously you won that because you did it right. Great scorer. There's a sandwich named after him at rallies.
Buford.
Big, Still playing the NBA for the Houston Rockets.
Son of Tate.
Yes, yes, bang. Hit the three against Illinois to put them to sleep when they were undefeated. Rhymes has a name that he shares with a famous cat that was on Looney Tunes.
Oh, my gosh.
His friend is Tweety.
I'm sitting here thinking Tweety about, and I'm over here thinking about Gus. What is his name?
Tweety and who's the bird and the cat in Looney Tunes?
The bird and the cat.
No, that's Tom and Jerry.
The bird and the cat. What is the
Sylvester?
Yeah, Sylvester.
Matt Sylvester.
Sylvester. I couldn't think of that bad name. The cat. I'm like, what is the cat?
I was worried you were going to give us like Matt Terwilliger, and I was going to be like, well, Paul and White, and I don't know what else. That's all I know. My guy, Matt
Terwilliger. Hopefully, Thad's not listening.
That's okay.
I think me and Timmy
should know what he's getting into.
So Matt Sylvester, was that last year, 2 years ago?
And you couldn't remember his name?
I couldn't think of his name. I couldn't think of Sylvester.
Yeah, that's fine. All right. You know what, though? Dylan, I'm going to say, despite my poor execution of it, I like that game show format. I think we should do that more often.
Describe.
Yeah.
We've done it
before. Even though it's terrible.
This is like the third time we've done it.
When did we do this? I don't remember doing this.
He goes, time has won that for you because you. His brother hates me. Jay Beavler.
He's your friend. You were like texting me that day. He's like, I got to talk to JJ. And I said, yeah, to him.
The funny part is
I said, you know him.
I said,
he's your friend.
After I say Jake and John Beavler like five times, Dilly go hit the buzzer. Bing.
When you said his brother hates me, all I could think about was John Beavler. That's it. That was the only person I could think of after that.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
I can't help it if people hate the truth. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
You've got multiple people's brothers that hate you that are involved with Ohio State basketball.
I just want to say, I'm sure they do.
I'm sitting there like, why he keep asking me?
I said it already.
That's right. Okay. That shows you where my issues are, is that I've got so many people that hate me. It's hard to keep them all straight.
Don't worry, Bone. We're about, three months away from basketball season?
Yeah, that's right. People hate the truth around here. It's okay. Sometimes you just have to lay it out there.
Buckeye basketball also like how people feel about the NBA where you don't pay attention until after Christmas?
Not me. Not
He's
me.
Got a Big Ten Plus
you
subscription.
You know I have a Big Ten Plus subscription. I've said that. I will say it again.
What an average fan.
The average fan doesn't care until March if they're in March Madness. That's the problem because this program has been run into the ground.
They made it last year.
And what happened? Who told you what was going to happen and what did happen? What exactly happened?
Was it TCU?
What exactly happened?
They had a dude in the paint. That was a great. He went to the paint and he got boards. And
they got in there and got beat by a team that shouldn't have beat them.
They didn't lose bad, did they?
No, but they got beat by a team that shouldn't have beat them. And the guys who should have stepped up didn't step up. And I told you all that back in February and everybody got mad about it. And then it turned out I was right.
But that's fine.
I'll be right again. It's okay.
You weren't wrong. You was just early.
It's not early. I said it. This is what's going to happen. And everyone was like, you don't know that. And then it did.
They lost by 2 points.
Yeah, because of what? Why are we doing this? It's off season. Why am I getting worked up about Buckeye basketball? Thad Mott is coming on at 8:30. We're going to be excited to talk to him. It'll be a lot of fun. I promise. Coming up next, one of the most corrupt organizations in sports is getting told they can't be as corrupt as they are. You will hear that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Just one more night when it comes to this ramp closure with some continued repairs downtown. It's that, once again, 71 northbound ramp to 70 eastbound starting as early as 10 p.m. Crews, though, will be wrapped up by 5 a.m. tomorrow, Saturday morning out there. That detour, 71 northbound to eventually 315, then 670 eastbound, and from there, you'll go northbound on 71. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Chats.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 3-2 last night. Hunter Green versus Paul Skeens is the expected pitching matchup for tonight's game, with first pitch scheduled for 6:10. Former Buckeye wideout Chris Olave signed a four-year, $132 million deal with the Saints yesterday. Olave joins the list with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Garrett Wilson, and Terry McLaurin as former Ohio State wide receivers to get massive contract extensions this offseason. And finally, it was announced yesterday that Ohio State will host Butler in an exhibition game at The Shot Sunday, October 25th. Former Ohio State and Butler head coach Thad Mata will join T-Bone and Tyvus to talk about that and more this morning at 8:30. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co., locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation today. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Just a reminder, Tyvus thinks all pizza tastes the same. Also a reminder, Tyvus was born without taste buds. You're listening to Bone and Tyvus.
Thad Mata joining us 1 hour from now. If you've, if you've not had enough Kurt Cignetti talk in your life, you should go back and listen to the podcast, because it pretty much like the first, at least a solid hour of the program, I think we spent today talking about Kurt Cignetti. Is he in the conversation for GOAT? Is he overrated? Where do you stand on that? If you want to hear any of that, you can go find it wherever you get podcasts. Just search for T-Bone and Tyvus on your favorite podcast app. It'll be there every day for you, free of charge. It's all brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus. And of course, if you can't stay in the car till 8:30 or wherever you are, and Thad Mata joins us, well, then you can hear that on the podcast as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at the fan poll of the day.
Yeah, what's
brought to you by JT's Pizza's Pub. 0% is leading with 44%.
Oh, of guys you would take over Kurt Cignetti?
Current college football coaches you would take over Kurt Cignetti.
Zero. There's no one they would take over Kurt Cignetti. That's the number one answer?
44%. One is 27.
I think we all know who probably most people are putting at one, if they are putting it there.
Ryan Day?
Probably. Probably Buckeye fans doing that, which is, I mean, I get it. Like, Ryan Day's been very successful here, too. I just,
well, you know what they say. If Kirk Cignetti went to Indiana and did that, if he was at Ohio State, forget about it.
Who's they? Me?
Oh, a lot. I'm in the they. A lot of people.
Kirk Cignetti, I don't think would have ever lost to Michigan if he came here.
Joshua Perry is one of those people, because what I didn't realize was as he was texting Tyvus, he was also texting me too. I don't know how he was able to text both of us simultaneously while being Kirk Cignetti's lawyer.
What did he say?
He said, hold on, let me pull it up. He basically said the same thing about, like, if Kirk Cignetti was at a bigger program, like, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Yeah, we don't have to redo it again, but yeah, that's it.
He said, when it comes to him being the best, he said, I just don't think we could ever really know unless Sig was at Ohio State, Notre Dame, or Texas, because even with Indiana at the peak of their powers, they're still at a disadvantage to the blue blood.
How?
Even in this era.
How?
Yeah, I don't
because
that.
Because you have to convince people to go play at Bloomington, Indiana,
I just saw them get the number one receiver.
Yes, and that is a testament to how good the man is.
I thought it was about money now.
I think it's about that and more. Like, okay, if it's just about money.
He doesn't need to leave. Remember, I made the argument that he should leave because if he goes somewhere else. Like, when Penn State opened up, I said he should go to Penn State because he got more resources there. But then Mark Cuban got on the board and what you need? I blank check. Well, heck, if that's the case, you don't need to leave.
I mean, that's fair. I'm just pointing out that also, like, there's still an institutional thing of, we have to get you to come up here and play at Indiana. Like you all are saying, there's a doubt on whether or not he can do this long term. So if guys want to go to win, and you've got Ohio State calling you, Alabama, Texas calling you, and Indiana calling you, there's just a built-in institutional difference between that, where there's bias that comes into play from however old you are, 17, 18 years old.
That means
thinking, if I go to Texas, they put a ton of guys in the NFL. If I go to Ohio State, ton of guys in the NFL.
Bama's still on there. You living in the past.
Fair enough. I'm saying, like, but that's also a thing. Okay, put Georgia on there. Put whatever, Oregon. Put whatever school you want that you think has this institutional, like, they get guys to the NFL.
You see it go to the playoffs every year, and he's a great.
But I just got told by everybody it's only 2 years. He's not going to do that every year. That's just a flash in the pan.
What I just said, he goes to the playoffs every year.
Flash in the pan. That's what I'm saying.
I said he goes to the playoffs every year. He's been there 2 years. He's went to the playoffs every year. That's a factual statement.
Yeah. And by your standards, you should have the same expectations for Indiana and Kurt Cignetti as you do Oregon and Dan Lanning. because they both have blank check guy. They both have the
That's why I don't think Dan Lanning's anything, because I think Dan Lanning sucks, because he's got everything you want and he still can't get over the hump. So like, yes, I'm not a Dan Lanning guy.
Him and James Franklin, same people.
I think it's insane that people put him in the same conversation with like guys who've won things. That boggles my mind.
There's only three guys that have won, quote unquote, won things in this sport,
and one of them.
We just did this for an hour. We don't have to do it again.
I don't. Why do I get sucked in?
It ain't nobody else out of them three.
Why do I do this to myself?
Four.
Folks, yeah. I'm mad at myself. So the governing body of world soccer, known as FIFA, they're tremendous. If you don't know, FIFA has a track record of corruption. Here's their new fun thing they've worked out, Tyvus. You ready for this?
What is it?
So FIFA has famously been a non-profit entity. Because all they want to do, Tyvus, all they want to do is grow the game of soccer, the sport of soccer, around the world. Because, you know, sports can be uplifting. Mm-hmm. They can unify us. Mm-hmm. They can teach you hard work, values, ethics, teamwork, all these things.
It definitely does.
Honor, all that stuff's good. So they use that cloak of integrity to say, well, what we need is millions, if not billions of dollars, so we can take soccer to a place where maybe it's not played as much as it could be.
Okay.
Famously, they this year brought it to the United States, where they said, hey, we could grow the game in the United States. You could also pocket billions of dollars with that, right? Making, you know, all the advertising revenue. I'm glad they put the World Cup here. However, they realized how much money they are leaving on the table because they are a nonprofit. So FIFA came out earlier this week. Gianni Infantino, who is the guy who leads FIFA.
Pay for profit now.
Who is I'm going to say this as a bald guy. He is extremely bald. Like, let him live. Extremely bald.
What does that mean?
Look him up.
What's his name?
Gianni Infantino. Like, it sounds like Johnny Infantino, but it's Gianni. Like, G-I-A. Anyway, this man came out and said, hey, good news.
Oh, he is shine.
I told you. He's extremely pale and extremely bald. Let him live. So he comes out and says, we're going to spin off the TV rights for the World Cup. We're going to spin that off and make that not a nonprofit. That's going to be a for-profit entity.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is take private equity dollars to allow them to invest in it to the tune of 20% stake in this new company they want to develop. 20% stake, $20 billion.
That's just 20%?
Just 20%. So obviously they value this at $100 billion business.
$20 billion?
Yeah, because that's the TV rights for. Think about this: it's the TV rights for the United States, Canada, Mexico, and every other country: England, France, Spain. They all go through this group, right? Well, what's interesting is now they want to make that for profit. There has been a deal that FIFA has put out saying that they want to get an investment firm to join up. This investment firm is owned by or run by Joshua Kushner. Joshua Kushner.
Saudi Arabia.
Jared Kushner. Yes. That's the president's son-in-law. That's his brother. So he has a connection to the White House, clearly. If you don't know, FIFA also gave Donald Trump a peace prize last year that they made up for some reason and gave to him. They also, remember, the White House called and said, hey, we don't like the red card that you gave to the U.S. player, and they turned that. Now people are putting together this and saying, oh, they've been friendly to this White House. Now this is going to be the investment that comes back in return. This is why FIFA was doing this. Well, a lot of people in world soccer are not happy with that. So they have all said no. UEFA, which is the governing body of the European soccer countries, so France, Germany, Italy, Spain, England, all that.
They're about to do the SEC and break off.
They literally said, if you do this, we won't join the World Cup. Men's or women's. Women's World Cup is next year. They said, good luck with all that. It's not going to happen. If you do that, we won't be there. Also, the United States, Canada, Mexico, the group they're in, CONCACAF, also said, we're not going to be a part of it.
So we messing up the
World Cup. No. It's a mutiny, is what I'm saying. Like, this deal is so bad. This is essentially like what you're talking about. This is like the Big Ten and SEC saying, screw you, we're just not going to do this. We'll do our own thing. Mm. And so I think this will not happen.
It can't. How can it?
Well, what's also interesting is,
unless you're trying to call it a bluff.
Yeah. So the other thing that can happen in FIFA is they can call a vote of no confidence for the guy who runs FIFA, this very bald Gianni Infantino.
Is this the bald guy?
Yes. So like 2 weeks ago, this was the guy who had the $1 billion World Cup, right? All the money you could possibly think of from this World Cup. No one could have touched this guy. Now he proposes this, and literally the guy who is his like vice president of FIFA, essentially, Carlos Cordero, came out and said, I wasn't a part of this. I don't want any part of this. Quitting FIFA until this guy leaves.
See how they do you?
So now this guy is probably gone from being untouchable to being probably kicked out of FIFA here in the next few weeks. Yeah.
It'd be your own people every time.
Well, if you make dumb decisions like this,
helped him pocket all this money. We making money hand over fist. And as soon as the boat get a little rocky, he jumps ship.
Oh, I forgot to tell you the other part of this deal that everybody hated. If you vote yes, you get $40 million from this deal, like this year. If you vote no, like your country, every country gets a vote. If your country votes no, you get only $10 million. So, feels bribey. I don't know. Feels like a bribe.
So, yeah. And they all going to vote no and take day 10.
I guess so. No, they're all just not going to participate. This is going to get killed. There's no way they're going to do this deal. I'll be shocked if they do. All right, Morning Breath coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Friday. Noticing two disabled vehicles out on your road, starting out on the northeast side, just south of Westerville. We do see one impacting that 270 northbound direction when you're passing 161 over by Blendon Township. So expect some lane closures this early morning. Also, if you are traveling through downtown, a heads up, a disabled vehicle being reported on 670 westbound, south of Grandview, just beyond 315 South. That right lane is blocked out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fam.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, August 13th, and all email submissions must be in by August 10th. Enter today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies for us today. It's filtered cloud cover works in from the west. Highs reach the mid to upper 80s. Overnight, increasing clouds, lows in the upper 60s. We'll top out pretty close to 80 on Saturday. More clouds and sunshine. Spotty showers and thunderstorms, especially as the day goes on. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender, it's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Sometimes it's better if people just shut up.
Shut up!
It's time for Morning Breath.
Now, usually on Morning Breath, we bring you someone who has said something incredibly stupid, and we're saying, boy, that was dumb. They should just shut up. What I'm about to play you is not necessarily incredibly stupid, but I do think this person should absolutely shut up. This was from last night. If you tuned into the Braves and Nationals game on ESPN, you would have heard this voice.
Welcome inside. Buster Olney's down on the field. Shortly, Andrew Jones will be down there as well. This is Eduardo Perez, fresh off his trip from Cooperstown, and I'm Carl Ravitch.
Carl, you got laid off last week. What are you doing? Why are you there?
His badge still works.
Badge still works. And apparently, according to Andrew Marchand, who reported on this, he said, yeah, he got laid off, but it's in the middle of the season, and they said you could still keep working. We're going to pay you either way. So if you want to keep, you know, doing some of the jobs that we had you signed up for, he's going to do the Little League World Series.
So even if he didn't do it, he'd still get his same
money. I mean, I guess I don't know his contract.
I'm about to say.
I would guess that... I mean, knowing how contracts typically work in this business for a guy who's been doing it that long.
You get canned. They might give you a 1 year of
severance. Well, it depends on what was on his contract.
A year, 1 month of a severance, but...
No, but if his contract, like, again, if his contract was up... A lot of these people who get let go from ESPN, it's just, we're not renewing your contract. You know what I mean? It's not so much they're getting fired, it's, we're not bringing you back. And I just wonder if he had his contract just playing out, and they said, yeah, we let you finish out the baseball season, or you can just go home. I need to know what's going on there. Because if it's me and it gets announced that I'm laid off, I'm not coming into work if I'm getting laid off. I mean, come on.
He loves his job.
I guess he does.
And it has to be, like,
It's got to be.
Maybe
something
it was
like
the
that.
End of his contract, and he was going to re-up at
yeah,
that moment.
Maybe.
And this is just extra money. Maybe.
I guess, man. I just that's. Do you need it? He's been on ESPN for 30 years. He was there through all the, like, T-bone. I mean, the highest of highs of ESPN. This man T-bone. Was on Sunday Night Baseball.
Does he need it? Listen, too much money ain't enough money.
Okay, but what about your dignity?
What about it?
What about it?
It's got a price.
Like, yeah, you at some point
that
you say.
Has a price, too.
I'm saying if they're
My
paying either way.
Has a price.
If they're paying either way.
They not.
They Okay, if they're not,
know.
I get it. If they're
we
not, I get it. If they're not, then he wants to get a few checks extra, but for me, it... No, I want to. As soon as you tell me I'm out of there, I'm moving on to the next thing.
What if they
I'm
said
I'm not gonna be here?
Yeah, that's
what if,
right.
What if they said this? We're not gonna pay you past the layoff day, but
yeah.
we do have some games, and we're willing to pay you double.
Oh,
for
you
that
can.
Game.
You can.
What would you do?
You can burn in hell.
Yeah, right.
Good luck. Figure it out. You can go find someone else to do that.
You, know
you just said I'm not good enough and you don't
you
want me on these games. You fired me.
I'm going to tell you like this. Melissa going to look at you and say, what time you need to be there?
No.
She going to look at you like, we got three
kids. Fine. Then here's what you're going
to
get. Welcome to the game. Braves, Nats.
That's fine.
Ball one.
That's fine.
Strike one.
Hey, that's
ball
on you.
Two.
That's on you.
Oh, challenge.
That's
oh,
on
inning
you.
Over. Done.
All I know is
see
that.
In a few minutes.
All I know is.
Go, here's what's on the other channel, so go watch that.
The difference is this.
I'd be actively telling people to go watch other things.
The difference is this. You go be there. You still go be at that game, get that check. So
I don't understand it.
About.
I don't understand it at all. I don't get it. All right, Dylan. Apparently, we had some people who think that I should shut up, or you should shut up, or somebody should shut up from the voicemail line, right?
I agree with them.
Yeah.
I don't know,
well,
what,
I know.
They,
I
don't know what they're about to say, but I agree with them. Whatever they said is a fact.
So do we want the one that's calling out Bone first or me first?
Okay, I'll take my medicine. Go ahead. Have him call me out. That's fine.
Hey, guys. Alex the King here from Columbus, Ohio. Bone, you are mentally irregular. How in the world can you justify... A guy who has the same amount of national championships as Gene Chizik and Ed Orgeron is the greatest coach of all time. You are on some kind of funny smelling things that shouldn't be smelled, sir. Thank you very much.
Where the weed at?
Hey, that's fine. That's fine, Alex. That's fine. That's fine. Because I agree with you. I actually like this train of thought that LSU and Auburn are just the same as Indiana football. I love that. So
oh
I agree with you. You're right. I was wrong. And it's pretty much winning at Indiana is like winning at Auburn and LSU.
Josh,
I agree with you.
Still texting me about this. You won't let it go.
Stop texting him.
This is why JP and I.
Let it go. Okay?
No. People like Joshua and I could not let stuff like this go.
Because now he's on the, well, you know, it's not like he can, it's not like Indiana's going to get a $17 million deal from Chase. Who cares? What they? Okay, they could get like an $8 million. They got Mark
they
Cuban.
They got Mark Cuban.
That's what I just said.
I love that. They have Mark Cuban supersedes like Ohio State. Like, again, Ohio State's poor and Indiana's got all this money. Apparently,
you know,
that's it.
When Mark Cuban goes on Shark Tank, all those people are rich and he's worth more than all those other rich people combined.
Yeah.
That's how much money this dude's got. He basically gave them Fernando Mendoza. They said, we really want this quarterback. And they said, okay, Mark, can you write a check?
You see,
he said, yes.
You see the guy taking pictures with all the Ohio State players? He basically gives you, you got that guy here too. You got guys here that do that same thing here. You just don't know their names because
nah.
they're not on Shark Tank.
Mark Cuban's a cheat code.
Okay. That's loser talk, by the way. Because also, then what the hell's Dan Lanning's problem out at Oregon? He's got Phil Knight. Somebody actually made this jersey. It was hilarious. They said the corporate sponsor for Oregon is also being added to their jersey. And it was just a double Nike logo. It was a Nike on top of a Nike. That's their corporate sponsorship is the jersey sponsor. They got all the money you could want.
Hey.
And they can't get it done. Maybe this year. This year, I'm sure Dan Lanning will get it done this year. He'll make me eat my words. Play this back. The end of the season. I'm sure he'll get it done.
What did they say about
you? What did they say about you, Dylan? What's on the...
Hey, this is Josh from Marysville. Hey, so I got something we got to talk with Dylan about, man. You think we didn't hear this, but we did. How crazy is it that you are saying that Mike Tyson is not in the conversation for the greatest of all time?
Mm-hmm.
This man, he went 50-7 44 of those wins were by knockout. And you also said that this is based on longevity. The average boxing career is about 5 to 10 years. This man was active for 20 years. Yes, there was 2 years in there where he didn't box, but you take that out, that's 18 years when the average boxer only lasts about 5 to 10, a lot of times even less. So to say that he's not even in the conversation is crazy work, my guy.
All right, my guy. You're barking up the wrong tree here, because my father went to the same high school as Mike Tyson, followed his career the whole way. So I know the lore, okay? Mm. Mike Tyson beat up on old people, okay? His best year is probably 1988. He knocked out Michael Spinks in 90 seconds, who did not box in 1989. And then he beat Larry Holmes in the same year, who Mike Tyson's probably like 15 years younger than. That's the type of people he beat up in his prime. And then as soon as something happened, like, I don't know, I got to go to Japan to fight Buster Douglas, choke. Oh, I'm fighting Evander Holyfield. He's beating me up a little bit. Let me bite his ear off because I can't actually box and I'm just a knockout artist.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That's why Mike Tyson ain't considered one of the, is not considered the GOAT in boxing.
Okay, but you made it sound like he had like 2 seconds where he was kind of viewed as being good. There was a reason why he was fighting bums, because all the other guys were like, I'm not getting in the ring with that dude.
Muhammad Ali's the GOAT.
That's not a bad.
I would take Sugar Ray over
Mike
Tyson.
I would take Floyd Mayweather
over Mike Tyson, because he could actually box and not just throw punches.
I'm a Sugar Ray guy. Sugar Ray Robinson, not Leonard.
Yes.
I mean, Leonard was good too, but I'm a Sugar Ray Robinson.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's fine. I don't know boxing. I'm just telling you.
But Crawford.
Terrence. My guy.
Bud Crawford.
Yeah. I know all about him. A big boxing guy. I watch it all the time. Boxing Day. Day after Christmas. My favorite holiday. Yeah. You know about Boxing Day?
No.
In England, that's like a second holiday to Christmas. And people go to the stores, and I think it was like because people would return their packages. That was kind of the idea. But now they put all the soccer games on box. It's like how the NBA on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
It's that on the day after Christmas for soccer in England. It's all
day soccer.
Some of the best games ever they put on Boxing Day. All right, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk to a guy who definitely does not need to shut up from Morning Breath, that whole thing. Thad Matta. Former Buckeye coach, now senior advisor to Butler University, obviously coached at Butler as well. He will join us in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Friday. Noticing 2 disabled vehicles out on your road, starting out on the northeast side, just south of Westerville. We do see one impacting that 270 northbound direction when you're passing 161 over by Blendon Township. So expect some lane closures this early morning. Also, if you are traveling through downtown, a heads up, a disabled vehicle being reported on 670 westbound, south of Grandview, just beyond 315 south. That right lane is blocked out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
NZ3. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus Powell helped the Buckeyes win a national championship. T-Bone watched Tyvus Powell help the Buckeyes win a national championship. Equally important, you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Coming up on October 25th, Buckeyes are going to host Butler basketball in an exhibition game at the Shot. Obviously, a lot of history between both those programs. Jake Diebler coaching here, his brother John coaching as an assistant at Butler. And a man who knows a lot about the history of both those places joins us now on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Thad Matta, thank you for taking the time this morning, Thad. How did it hit you when you knew that this exhibition game was going to happen?
It was kind of funny because Jake had always asked me to come back over there, and I said, there's no way I'm coming back over there and playing a game. And he said, well, let's do an exhibition game. And so it had been in the works for a while, and I'm excited to see it. It should be a great early season contest. Now, these exhibition games have taken on lives of their own. It's amazing what's going on now in the preseason.
You know, Coach, when you look at these exhibition games, what are you looking to accomplish? What should, players be trying to get done? What is coaches looking to get done in these games?
Well, I think, because they are so early now, you're still trying to figure out your team. And, college basketball has changed so much because, you're literally practicing in the summer now. And so you've got a better understanding. I know Ohio State's on their way to Puerto Rico, I believe, for a summer trip. But I think in those games, you know, you want to get guys experience. You want to get your new guys experience. And so many times now in college basketball, you've got like a completely new roster. And so, you know, getting guys out there playing together, that sort of thing, I think is huge. Playing in front of people. Because you used to have the what they call the closed or private scrimmages, and you know, there were no fans in stands. So I think they're a great thing to have right now, and obviously you know, the Butler Ohio State game will be a great test for both teams.
Have you ever been in one of these exhibition games and something shocked you that you wasn't aware of or you wasn't ready for from one of the players? Good or bad? Good or bad?
Well, I tell you a great story. We had gone down to play Hugs at West Virginia in a secret scrimmage one time. And I'll never forget, we're down one with, I don't know, 30 seconds left. I take a timeout. And this kid named D'Angelo Russell says, "Hey, look, we're winning this damn game. And we got a three-hour bus ride. And I'm going to enjoy the ride home." He hits the game winner. And I think he ended up with 33 in the scrimmage. And we get on the bus, and I turn to the coach and I say, "Look, find us another point guard." And they're like, "What?" I said, "He's out of here at the end of the season." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Did you guys just see what he did?" He's a pro. And so at that moment, I knew D'Angelo was only going to be in Columbus for a little while. And I'll never forget, that was like one of the shockers there.
Yeah, Thad Mata joining us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. No, I think of guys like him from your tenure here at Ohio State. There's a guy that every time I flip on an NBA game and I see Mike Conley Jr. still running around, still making plays, still being a leader, all that stuff, I think, God, like it's amazing to me as a fan, because I remember how long ago that was in my personal life watching him play. Sure. For you, having coached him, when you see that, I mean, what does that feel like when you flip the game on? You still see, I think he's with the Celtics now, Mike Conley's still out there getting right. It done.
You know, it's amazing, because I remember when I recruited Michael, the first time I saw him play, first three times I saw him play, I left the gym and I didn't know if he was right-handed or left-handed. And I get in my car and I'm driving. I'm like, "You know, you big time college basketball coach, you don't even know what handy is." And it was because he was ambidextrous. And I remember saying, like, I knew how good he was. And I remember when, like, they first got to Columbus in the summer and the guys were playing against our vets, and J.J. Sullinger comes in my office after, he goes, "Hey, the little kid that came with Odin, he's really good." And I said, "No, I know. He's the best point guard in the country." And you know, Michael just has one of those bodies. I'll swear he could play till he was 50 if he wanted to. You know, just his genes from his dad being an Olympian and that sort of thing. But it's amazing. And you know, the thing with Michael, that all he's done for the NBA, you know, he's won the Sportsmanship Award several times, and just, you know, just the most humble kid, and so happy for him.
You know, Coach, obviously the new thing is the format of March Madness. Obviously, it got expanded from 68 to 76 in 2027. Were you a fan of that or what? Where were you at with that?
I am. I think, I remember, geez, back in the 90s, Coach Knight used to say, "Let everybody in the tournament." And, you've got programs now that, like, they don't even qualify for their conference tournament. I think Big Ten's a conference like that, right? Some teams only go to the conference tournament. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I get the whole, but, you know, everything is so analytical now, and it's you know, everything's judged by rankings and computers and that sort of thing, and I just think it gives, you know, just the opportunity for things to happen, and your cream's always going to rise to the top. Your best teams are going to make it to the Final Four typically, and you know, the days of, God, I think it was 2011, you think about this, it was Butler, VCU, UConn, and maybe Kansas in the Final Four, and three of the four teams were not going to go to the tournament with 1 week left in the season. They all had to win the conference tournament to get in. And that was Butler, VCU, and UConn. And they did. That was the time I think UConn won 5 games in 5 days or whatever and ended up winning the national championship. But I think the more the better. And gosh, make it fun, make it exciting, and let kids play.
Thad Mata joining us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Obviously, some of the other things that have changed in college basketball, college sports, the bigger picture, the NIL and portal system, the combination of those two. you've coached in the era well before that, and you've coached in that era now, obviously. So how did that change your approach, or did it, over the, you know, 20 plus years of your career?
Oh, man. I tell you what, it probably forced me to another retirement, to be honest. I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, back in the day, like, we knew who was cheating. Okay. And so we wouldn't recruit against them. And we just, okay, if they're going to recruit him, then we'll go another direction and we'll find this guy. And I think the biggest thing that I enjoyed, you know, back in the day, like at Ohio State, was developing guys. And year after year, seeing the progression, seeing the growth, and them becoming, you know, players. And you know, those days now are kind of gone. You know, I used to tell the story in recruiting, you know, the top 50 greatest all-time NBA players, how many of them transferred in college? And there was one, and that was Larry Bird, and he technically didn't transfer. He quit at Indiana and then went to Indiana State. So, you know, the days of sticking it out and making it, you know, getting through the challenges and making yourself tougher and that sort of thing are kind of gone. You know, I think in terms of the NIL, you know, we didn't have a lot of money here at Butler. We were last in the Big East, and that was challenging. And yeah, I think just from the standpoint of it obviously missed its opportunity. I don't know what's right or wrong. I think, you know, kids getting money is good, but this thing is now just pay for play, and it's completely out of control.
Who's a guy that at Ohio State, if NIL were a thing? Is there a guy, like you mentioned D'Angelo Russell earlier, he's a pro from day one. You saw that, but the money now keeps some guys, at least they consider college sports a little bit more. Do you think there's anybody that may have been more considerate of that or who would have benefited from NIL?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine what Aaron Kraft would have made? I mean, everywhere I turned, there was an Aaron Kraft jersey or whatever, but, and that was the intent of NIL. You know what I'm saying? That was the paid for your worth of what you bring. But, you know, I think back to guys that like Deshaun Thomas or LaQuentin Ross, who left early and they were second round picks. And, you know, those, it was good for them, but it probably cost us as a team a lot, where those guys could have made more money probably than they made by declaring for the draft. I can't even fathom what Greg Oden would cost in today's day and age. I mean, my gosh. But no, you are seeing it where some kids are opting to stay in college because they're making more money than they make in the NBA.
You know, Coach, obviously you had a wonderful career here at Ohio State as the coach. Is there a moment that comes to mind? What's the first moment when you think about your coaching career at Ohio State, and why is it Matt Sylvester?
That is it to a T. I mean, that game against Illinois was a defining moment for our tenure at Ohio State. And you know, that was year one. Year two, we win the Big Ten. Year three, we play for the national championship, and then we just went on a heck of a roll there. And but that shot by Matt was still to this day. I still get the picture in my office at home, and that was a moment that I will never ever forget.
Did you draw that play up?
I did. I don't know. You've never heard the story. I take it. But, you know, the whole gist of the thing was in game prep, I was trying not to get blown out because Greg, Michael, and Daquan were supposed to be at the game. So it's like, hey, we got to keep this thing close. I don't think we're going to win, but the closer, the better. So we're down, I think we're down 14-0. We were going to trick the number one team. We opened up in zone, and I called the timeout, and I turned to the coach and said, you think we've tricked them enough? We're down 14-0. Let's do what we do. And so long story short, we get the rebound. We're down two, and Brandon Fuchs-Cheatham is bringing the ball up the floor. Like, there's 30 minutes left in the game. So I sprint to half court, tell him to get the ball there, take the timeout. I turned to the staff. I said, look, what do you guys want to do? And they said, go down low to Dials, go down low to Dials, go down low to Dials. I said, look, fellas, do you want to play the best team in college basketball for five more minutes? I said, the hell with that. We're going for the win. And so drew the play up where we ran, I think it was Tony as a decoy, popped in Matt for the Terrence screened in for Matt for the shot. He knocked the shot down, and the rest was history. And but I was going for the win on that one. There was no chance I was going to overtime.
No. Yeah. No, and what a great moment it was. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, those moments, I was on the phone with my then-girlfriend, who became my wife eventually, and she thought our family was, like, having a disaster, because I was watching with my dad and my brother, and we're screaming our heads off. She's like, what's going on? Is everything okay? And I'm like, you're not going to believe this. Ohio State beat Illinois. And she's like, you're going to have to contextualize that for me, because I'm not a big basketball. Hey, Dad, thank you for the memories. Thank you for the conversation today, and hopefully we'll see you here in Columbus on October 25th when Butler and Ohio State square off. But thank you for the time this morning.
I appreciate it, guys. Good luck, man.
There you go. Thad Mata on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll hit the buzzer next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still closely monitoring two disabled vehicles for you. The first one's going to be by 670 and 315, a little just west of downtown and south of Grandview. 670 westbound at 315 north. You can see that disabled vehicle. That left shoulder is closed up ahead. That ramp is also restricted not too far away. And in our northeast side, south of Westerville and outside of Linden Township, you have another disabled vehicle, 270 northbound. After 161, expect some lane closures in your area as well. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30, and he works blue.
Okay. The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tyvus has a bum wrist from playing football. Bone has a bum wrist from opening the heavy doors at Sheetz. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Rocky Locky, I don't know what Fish was just doing. What's at right? The door. He's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
Fish does a lot of hand gestures.
Joining the program, a guy who gets to watch Berea live, watch the Browns up close in person. You know, Bo, I've seen ESPN's quarterback tracker, and I got the answer. Dylan Gabriel and Taylen Green is the best, according to
there we go.
They haven't even thrown an incompletion.
Bang.
I think it's interesting that the quarterback tracker that they do, because I noticed on day one they didn't count touchdowns that were thrown. It was just like completions. And then I also am curious, like, are they counting every throw that they make, like every warm-up throw that they make, or is it just – 7-on-7 and when they're in team? Is that it? I'm very curious to know how all of that works. But yeah, we actually had it pretty incredible. So they've renovated the facility up there, and so we were way up high in what is now like VIP hospitality, where they added the addition. And so on the right field the ones were going, and on the left field the twos were going, and on day one it was like you would see a play on the right field, and then 3 seconds later you'd see a play on the left, and so the exact same play, so you could tell exactly like how each guy was doing. Needless to say, whoever goes against the first team defense struggles, and whoever goes against the second team defense has a good day.
Oh yeah, that's what I saw. Zach Jackson posted something like, it's not been great for the offense today, and I was like, that's just elite defense. That's all that is. Don't worry. We're fine.
On the one side,
elite
I think it
defense.
Is.
I hope
I
so.
I think on the other side, it's maybe not so.
Well, you know, Bo, my biggest question, everybody's so worried about the quarterbacks, and rightfully so, but I was always worried about the depth at the corner position. So, you know, when I see those guys making plays, you know, kind of makes me smile a little bit. Maybe it's-
well, you got that's the big problem though, because you have Concepcion and Boston are NFL receivers.
Yeah,
so they're going against the, you know, 3 and 4, 4 and 5 corners.
Yeah,
and
practice
that's a problem.
Squad guys.
Probably. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So they definitely have major depth issues at corner. Major depth issues really in the back seven in general, at linebacker, even at safety. So it gets really thin really quick. So when you see, you know, whether it's Deshaun or Shadur running the twos with two NFL receivers and really a pretty decent up front, because like yesterday, DeJuan Jones was the starting left tackle with the twos after being with the ones on day one. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously DeJuan can play when he's healthy and he looks great, so he can really play. So that second group is really able to feast a little bit. Those mismatches are pretty real with those two receivers.
Bo, I think you would have appreciated early on in the show today. I mean, very early. We got into a discussion because Tyvus wants to get he's debating getting a different haircut for TV this year. The current one he's rocking, he's not sure about.
Hey, what's he rocking now? What, I've only seen you in hats.
It's just a little, you know, just a little fade on the side.
Faded up on the sides, but it's a little puffy up top.
Yeah,
you got it's not quite
on the top. It's like a very 90s look. You ever seen the Fresh Prince or Martin back in the day?
Like
that.
It's
like that. That fade on the side, but like got the hair up top.
A little bit like that. It's a combo of that.
Not kid in play though, right?
No, not the kid, but it's not that high. Okay. I would never do that.
It's a much more like discreet version of the broccoli haircut that a lot of the kids are rocking these days where they have the like shaved sides and then the poofy hair on top. Like he's a little bit of that. But here's he was asking for suggestions. And my suggestion was B.A. Baracus. And they looked, and he and Dylan are like, who is that? And I just, I felt so bad. I tried to educate on the glory of the
he
A-team.
Should have just said Mr. Man. T, and then that would have
been. Well, I know, but that's easy to say. I wanted to see if you knew A-team.
Oh, no, no A-team love.
I'm trying to help him out.
My brother bought a van to like do some like, I don't know, handyman nonsense when we were out in Montana last week. And I said, you got to paint this sucker with some A-team stripes, dude.
Absolutely.
Like, you got to live a little
Absolutely.
Bit. Get out there and live a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll go Marcus Graham in Boomerang for you.
Yeah. Hey.
I mean, come on.
That means I got to shave the beard.
Yeah, and just have the mustache.
I got to have
it. Doesn't he have, like, the mustache. One line? He's got the one line on
You got a part on this? I got to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
Bo, you rocked a mullet in high school?
Not in high school. Middle school I did. That was, maybe it was like more like elementary school. I had the Bosworth haircut.
Did you wear a jean jacket with the collar popped up?
No, I never wore a jean jacket. That wouldn't have lasted on the Ponderosa very long if I tried rocking that. I did for a time in Florida pop like polo collars when I was down there in my early 20s.
Really?
Like I would pop like a Ralph Lauren or a Lacoste polo collar, and that took off a little bit down there. So I definitely remember wearing that a little bit. But the mullet was more like probably like fifth, sixth grade, somewhere in there.
You ever rocked a mullet?
No, I sadly that had fallen out of fashion, and I was very with the times in getting a bowl cut, which I was very
literally
proud of.
Literally, they put the bowl on your head.
No, they don't, but it looked like that, and it was now that in a rayon shirt is what I was wearing to school, Bo, and it's the school picture from that year is just terrible. It's
pretty good, the old silk shirt.
It's terrible.
It's a good look.
So, what do you have coming up on the show today?
We'll wrap. Boy, man, how about Cignetti?
Yeah, man. We had a whole robust debate on Cignetti today on the show about how you know, I think he's great. Tyvus thinks he's a joke. And
that's bold. That's crazy. Don't let him lie to you like
I'm
that.
I'm just kidding. Dylan thinks he's a joke, but that's another story for another.
Well, I think one of the things I want to get to right away is this the best the Big Ten's ever been? Both on the field, off. Is this the most fun the Big Ten's ever been? It might be. I mean, when you think about it.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that a little bit. 20 most interesting is Georgia. And then we'll have Doug and Tim. And then former Georgia quarterback Buck Ballew will join us at 11:30. He is the one, for the kids out there, he is the one who threw the ball to Lindsey Scott in the famous Run Lindsey Run play that has gone viral a bunch of times when they beat Florida and on a legendary call from the Georgia PA man. So that is he'll be joining us at 11:30. So we'll wrap all of that up.
There you go. Bishop and Friends coming up 9 to noon right here on The Fan. Thank you, Bo.
All right, guys. Take care.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for The Buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on train systems, including 0% APR for 60 months.
Well, a shout out to former Buckeye veteran defensive tackle in the NFL, Jonathan Hankins, announced he is retiring from the NFL after 12 years in the league. Let him live. Outstanding career. Former second-round pick out of course, Ohio State. Saw this from Jordan Schultz on Twitter. He had mentioned that he was drafted by the Giants, played for the Colts, Raiders, Cowboys, and Seahawks. 169 career games. And, of course, a great run-stuffing interior defensive lineman. So,
Big Hank.
Yeah. Great career for him. Shout out to him. Hope that he has an enjoyable retirement. Hope that you have an enjoyable Friday. We will talk to you on Monday. Make it a great one. Bishop and Friends coming up next. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
No crashes out there, but I do want to leave you with a heads up as we head into the weekend. Starting next Monday, August 3rd, we will have a portion of 33 closed in both directions out there along Riverside Drive. It's between Fishinger Road and Edgewood Road. It's closing for 45 days for some culvert repairs. For that detour, 33 to Fishinger Road, which turns into Cemetery Road eventually, then 270 all the way northbound towards 161, and then from there, you can head southbound on 33. You can also take this vice versa. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.